Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Yeah. Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Session. Once again, I'm your host, Justin Crosley. With me today, Jason Petros.
Hi.
JP and Bevo.
Hi.
And that's that.
And that is that on that.
And that's going to be that. Yeah. We're doing a skeleton show day. It's our annual post-Thanksgiving show, which really just means that it's a show after Thanksgiving.
Year, that's right, yeah. I like it, though. You put a little pomp and circumstance on just an ordinary fucking show.
Yeah. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Sure.
Okay.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was good. You know, it was good enough. It was what it was. Yeah. I wanted to smoke a lot during Thanksgiving.
Like cigarettes?
Yep.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Oh, that's right. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm on your wavelength.
There. Yeah, yeah. You know, right. Just this, you know, the everybody's around and they're annoying and yeah. But
you stuck to your
I have not since the day I said I quit.
There we go.
Which I can't remember what day that was.
I was going to say, how many days has it been?
But I feel like it had to be April, because I don't think I was smoking at Springfest this year.
That might explain a lot.
Why I screamed at, I'm pretty sure I wasn't smoking at Springfest, so that would, I don't know, I'd have to listen to a show or something. I don't know. It's been time, but not enough clearly that I don't still want a cigarette, you know.
Well, I don't think that'll ever go away.
I was going to say, there are people who haven't smoked in like 10 years, and they're like, I just really want a cigarette.
Yeah, cigarettes are great.
Yeah, I think a lot of the...
Why do we have to spend so much time like solving cancer, which we clearly can't do?
No.
Can't we just solve the making a cigarette that doesn't cause you cancer? Like, that seems easier.
I think they tried, and it sucks.
I see.
The gum, I think you could chew gum.
Nah, it's not a cigarette.
No, well, then roll out the piece of gum like a cigarette and then smoke the gum.
I think enough research hasn't gone into, if you can't stop people from doing a thing that harms them, make the thing stop being harmful. Put all the research into that. Doesn't that seem simple?
That's a very good. That's a very good point. And you know what? I'm sure nobody thought of that. And so I think,
yeah,
this is what, you know what? We'll do a charity drive. We'll start a charity,
right?
To find things.
We're going to raise money for sins
to
allow us to keep. You know,
yeah, carefree sins.
Yeah, that's the name.
Smoking is not like sin; it's a vice.
Right, but yeah. I only say that because I can remember back when I first was a smoker.
Yeah,
and California started imposing like a lot more taxes. They were called sin taxes.
Sin taxes,
because they were based on alcohol and tobacco and stuff. So I don't think of them as sins either. But I just remember them being taxed as sin taxes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Why don't we just do like sin research so that it doesn't hurt you so fucking bad?
The Sin Research Corporation. That is our 501(c).
Yeah.
We'll have a beer
foundation,
fest.
Not corporation.
Foundation.
It's a foundation.
We will have a beer fest to raise money.
Yeah.
I'm not planning that one.
Imagine that festival. To raise money to, if you can't stop us from doing these things, just help us do them better. So, I feel like we're running on a treadmill with this stopping us.
So you have cancer or whatever. What about, like, because the other vice to smoking and drinking is clearly prostitution.
Or just sex, but okay.
Yeah, but
I guess it has to be
prostitution. It has to be prostitution, right? Because sex is already legal. It's fine, right?
Yeah.
So how do you
mostly
take the cancer out of or what's the bad thing about prostitution?
Right. Well,
like
human
trafficking, I guess.
Okay.
If
now
that's
chlamydia?
Even exists.
I don't know. Now you're making my point. I'm pretty sure that prostitution is legal in Germany and Holland, Amsterdam, and it's regulated, and there are tests like either regular STD screening. It's like a health regulated, profession.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're taking a page out of my book. I'm taking a page out of their book by saying, you're not going to stop it from happening. How about we make it healthier?
But I wouldn't say that STD screenings are necessarily healthier, because you could still get them.
Yeah.
But
it's healthier.
You make cigarettes, so you can make cigarettes healthier by doing like vaping, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But that's still an addictive thing and whatever. So,
what you're saying is there's no hope either way. We're not going to cure the things, and we can't fix the things.
Well, no, I'm saying that you just go for the gusto and like you know, do a tobacco leaf cigarette that doesn't give you cancer. I think you're on the right path there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these foundations and you know, 501(c)s or whatever, they're not going to solve anything. All of these charities just exist because they can exist and kind of run, like you said, on the treadmill of the bubble. Like, curing cancer in kids, it's never going to happen. But people,
they have made some advances, don't get me wrong.
Sure, but not because of the foundation that gives them 50 grand a year. So that's what I'm saying. So we could just exist in this little pocket of where we can just lay up in the cuts right here, where let's make everything healthy for you and
that's
pay
what
us
I'm
to
saying.
Do that. Yeah.
And what I'm saying,
it'll never happen.
If the same amount of money all of this time had been dumped into taking the bad shit out of the bad shit, we'd probably be okay. That's what I'm saying.
Taking the bad shit out of the bad shit,
That's our foundation motto.
Oh, man. I would love that.
The American Vice Foundation.
Yeah.
Taking the bad shit out of the bad shit.
Man, and you know what?
BN t-shirt.
The corporate dress code would be a suit jacket, some sort of pastel color t-shirt, sunglasses, like Miami Vice.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
But without the testosterone.
For drugs.
But then no pants or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, we'll just go down the list. You know, we'll start small. We'll start with cigarettes. Before you know it, we can all do heroin.
Do you know what causes cancer from cigarettes? I don't think that they've like pinpointed it. I think it's
everything.
Like the tar.
I think it's everything.
It's everything. It's the chemical. They don't know. It's all the things that they put it. But then somebody goes, okay, then smoke my natural ones. You know, you still get it. So who knows? It might not even be the cigarettes. I don't know.
It could just be like the.
What if it was the paper?
Willingly putting lungs or smoke into your lungs.
It would be that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just a thought that I had.
I think it's a great thought. I think we've explored it a lot right now, and I feel like I'm ready to file paperwork and let's go on this thing.
I'm with you.
I would love nothing more than to just roll and just grift the entire, you know, charity community.
We're like, you know what? You can keep trying to heal people. We're going to keep them from having to be healed, motherfuckers.
That's right. And we'll have a lot of, like, the tobacco lobby, you know, helping us and giving us money.
Right?
Because we'll be like, don't stop smoking. A cure is coming soon.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to be fine. We're going to take the bad stuff, the cancer stuff, out of cigarettes, and you can still smoke them. So don't stop. In fact, start smoking again if you've stopped.
Right.
We're almost there.
Imagine imagine the day when a guy like me can have a 30-year career in the beer drinking business and not have a pickled liver. That's going to be because of the Take the Bad Shit Out of the Bad Shit Foundation.
But what's the bad shit from the...
Too much alcohol. Pickles your liver.
They have non-alcoholic beer. But you don't want that.
Fuck wants that? You want the alcohol. Right. So we have to... Okay. We got to make the alcohol that doesn't hurt the liver.
Damn.
I know.
That's some 4D chess, dude.
All right, you all just, all you listeners, just put that in your pipe and smoke it for a little while.
And get cancer from it.
And we'll get back to you. All right, we got a great show today brought to you by our good friends over at More Beer. Go to morebeer.com, check them out, and they have everything you need and more. And they're wonderful people.
They really are.
Thank them for doing what they do and for supporting us. On tonight's program, Buffalo Creek Brewing out of Long Grove, Illinois. Looks like a very cool brewery. They specialize in German and Belgian beers, and they sent us some. So we're going to be tasting that stuff. I don't think there is a single IPA in today's lineup, JP.
You know what? That's a standing ovation.
Come on
with the fucking IPAs already.
We're going to be talking to Mike Marr over there. He's the owner and the brewmaster, and maybe he listens and knew not to send you an IPA. Or maybe he doesn't make one. We'll find out.
I would love it if he got on and be like, actually, all I sent was IPA.
Yeah, it's like, psych. Just labeled him wrong. So, we got a great program for you today, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Let's get through just a couple of announcements, which is not a whole lot here, but they are brought to you by Beersmith. Go to beersmith.com. It's the Beersmith brewing software. It's the best software on the market. If you don't have it yet, don't worry. It's a free 21-day trial. Just go over to beersmith.com, download it, check it out. Works on every device you need it to. There are tutorials. It does more than you need it to do. Or if you're a much, 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 much smarter person than I am, you need all those things, just like Brad Smith, and that's why he built it in there. Go to beersmith.com right now and check it out. Our announcements today are to support the Brewing Network. The holiday season is upon us, and you can do your Amazon shopping by clicking on the Amazon link on our homepage. And that'll take you over to Amazon. You can just do what you do, and it's a great way to support us. Save it as a bookmark as you're buying your gifts throughout this holiday season, and we would appreciate that very, very much. You can also subscribe and join the BN Army. Just click the donate page on our website, and for as little as $2 a month, you're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which gives you a chance to win $100 to spend over at More Beer. The more you donate, the more chances you have to win. Just make sure your email address there is current. And it's a great way to support us. Those of you who have been doing it for years and years, we appreciate it so much. And those of you who have just signed up, we also appreciate it. You have no idea how far this support goes to keep us on the air. All right, check out all our other shows, Hop and Brew School. I'm going to be posting a couple new episodes of that this week. Alone, Heads and Tails is out there. Dr. Homebrew, Brew Strong, The Sour Hour. A lot of great content we're still putting out here on the BN, and we're going to continue to do so.
Still doing it.
Still doing it.
So don't worry about us.
That's right. All right, and then go find us over on all your social medias, except Foursquare. That's like still a thing, right? We're not on that, I don't think.
I don't think so.
But we're on the Twit one, the Face one, and the Insta one. So you can find us there. Am I missing anything? Is there something we're supposed to be on now that we're not?
No, I mean, there's like Snapchat and TikTok, but who, you know, unless you're, you know, under 25.
I see.
You know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking. I gotta keep up to date with the, you know, by checking with you for 2 seconds.
That's right, because I'm really in on what the kids are up to right now.
Yeah, well, you have a kid. I don't know. I figured
that's true.
She's out running around. What is she, like 7 now?
Yeah, she's actually not posting enough, so I need to get on her.
Get your content.
Let's
up.
Go.
Yeah. All right, very good.
Thank you.
And do we have a Twitter game today?
We do.
Great. Our Twitter game is brought to you today by the 21st Amendment. Their newest seasonal release is available now. In fact, I got some over the Thanksgiving holiday myself. It's the Tasty IPA, and it's near and dear to the BN Army's hearts because it's a collaboration with everyone's favorite brewcaster, Mike Tasty McDole. At 6.8% ABV and 58 IBUs, and its straw color, Tasty IPA drinks easily but isn't necessarily easy drinking. The hop-forward creation spawned originally from early test batches of Tasty's own homebrews. It's got Calypso, Simcoe, Azaka, Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe Lupulin pellets, Centennial, Cascade, Equinox, Cascade Lupulin powder, Mosaic, and Azaka again. And that's a hop salad right there. So Tasty IPA was done as a one-time only beer, but it was so popular that it became part of the 2NA's main beer lineup. And now is their fall seasonal release. So get it while you can. I did see some on the shelves, like I said. So go check it out. And it comes in those fancy either six packs or 19.2 ounce cans.
Damn.
Which still have to be explained to me. What's our Twitter game today?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Justin, but have you ever heard the term drinking from the garden hose?
I mean, I didn't know it was like a saying.
It's like a saying. So a lot of boomers on Facebook, right, like our parents, essentially, those that are alive, you know, go, well, you know, my generation drank from the garden hose and we're fine.
Okay.
As a way so to sort of put down the current generation because we're all soft.
And like everything we do. Okay, I understand.
Did you see what I mean?
Because I get it.
Like now you're not supposed to drink from the garden hose because it tastes like plastic or you get cancer from it, to your point again, right?
Fix the garden hose.
Fix the garden hose.
Yeah, okay.
They've done, I guess.
Right.
So there's, you know, there's that. Our charity can claim rights to that. So I want to know.
One down.
Yeah. So I think every generation sort of has that sort of hose moment, you know, where they can.
Yeah, we do.
Like they can put down the current generation. So I want to know what our generation's hose equivalent
like
is.
Is it mine and yours?
Sure. Yeah. Or yeah, mine and yours, or, you know, basically anybody who wants to chime in that's not, you know, a boomer, because you guys are stuck.
So what's our, like, we did it and we lived.
Yeah. So, for example, I think mine, you know, if I had to pick one, it would be, well, we cleaned our ears with Q-tips and we're fine.
Right.
That's what I'm kind of looking for.
Sure. Although my headphones are cranked up to 11.
Do you clean with Q-tips?
Yes. But that's probably not the issue.
No.
But yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
You see what I mean?
I do.
Let's just try it out. It's not beer related at all, so I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out. Although, you could turn it into beer. Like, you know, back in my day, we brewed with whole hops and we were fine. We didn't have a hop bag and we're okay.
Right.
I guess.
I like it.
All right.
All right. That's our Twitter game. Please participate and you will win a prize.
Please do it.
All right. Let's do a little bit of feedback.
All right.
Feedback's brought to you today by the Beer Law Center, who's going back to work for me again.
No, really?
You know, it's the same old lawsuit that's been threatening me. Oh, by the way, beerlawcenter.com. It's John Smankiewicz. He's a good guy. And they keep dropping the ball themselves, and every time I think they go away, because they'll say something, they're like, well, we need you to respond to this thing, and I'll go, okay, and they'll give me the amount of time I have to do it in.
Yeah.
And I always do it, you know.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm bored of this thing, and then,
sure.
Then they'll go, hey, we have this next offer for you, and I'm like, okay, cool. And they're like, we need you to respond to it in 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but you need to give it to me in writing, because I don't know what I'm responding to.
Yep.
You need to write out the details. This has happened several times over the course of like a fucking year and a half.
Okay.
And that's what happened, and the guy, that happened,
yeah,
like 3 months ago.
Okay.
And he's like, I said, cool, you send me the thing, I will respond in 2 weeks.
Right.
Nothing. So I'm like, alright, maybe this is finally going away.
Yeah.
And then a fucking Thanksgiving holiday sends me, hey, you didn't respond in 2 weeks. You know, here's the lawsuit. If you don't answer by this date, and I'm just like, this motherfucker. Now I'm thinking, I have an email record of responding every time,
right,
on time, to everything. Can I just go and I'm having this conversation with John right now.
Sure.
Can I just go in front of a judge with this law and just be like, is it really that important to them? Do they really think I'm stealing something? If this has taken a year and a half, and every time I answer in a timely fashion, they take 6 months. Like, How fucking important is it?
Your Honor, I would like to countersue for harassment. I feel like this is an unjust lawsuit, and here I'm responding.
Because I have a learning disability that doesn't... Oh, you're being me. I thought you were being their lawyer.
No,
I thought their defense was like, it is important to us, but we have a learning disability.
That's right.
And we don't know how to answer our own time frame.
That's right. I can't reply to emails because I can't read, but I can voice text.
Yeah.
I have my Alexa read your emails to me. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that should be like, I want to get this case thrown out if they ever bring it.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's... So I got to send the thing to fucking poor John at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you're like, John, they're back.
Right.
He'll take care of it. He always does.
What I don't understand, what I've always read, especially about stuff like this, where if you set a date to respond by and the person doesn't respond, you can consider the thing... closed? Is that not a legal thing? I don't know that. Maybe I saw it in a sitcom like on Night Court,
you know,
which predates email. But whatever.
I think only if it's a formal threat. So like,
oh,
the most recent one I got, they actually sent me, here's the lawsuit we're going to file.
Okay.
If you don't answer by whatever the date is, some date in December. Whereas before it was always like, we need to hear from you by this date or we're going to move forward with the thing. So I don't fucking know. What I know is, fuck you. That's what I know.
Right.
I know, fuck you.
Not me, but
them.
Or both of us.
Because, no, I mean, sometimes.
Okay.
No, I just think they're ridiculous. And anyway, me and John, we got to be bothered on the holiday because this fuckwad can't figure out
that
he is the one who's dropped the ball 17 times.
Wow. I feel like you just go, look, you know what? Take me to court, file the lawsuit. Yeah. Otherwise, like, and I'll see you in court. Otherwise, stop bothering me.
It's a whole thing, though.
Yeah?
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Well, luckily, I have John over at Beer Law Center to help me out. Go to beerlawcenter.com. Let's do some feedback.
All right.
Kyle writes in, I just listened to the Flatland Brewing session, and Justin mentioned the 2020 road trip and wanting ideas for interesting places to visit. I'm a member of Chaos Brew Club in Chicago, and I think a visit with us would certainly fit his criteria of doing something different. We break up any monotony of commercial brewing interviews and get back to some home brewing roots. Why are we so different? Chaos is the only club in America, he says, disclaimer to our knowledge, that has its own dedicated brew space for its members. They have their own club brew house that gives members everything they need to brew on site. We're a truly unique and one-of-a-kind club. We'd love to host Justin anytime. Hell, come during May for our Cerveza de Mayo party.
Oh, I love mayonnaise.
Or August for our multi-club open house throwdown party where almost every club in the Chicagoland area crashes the Chaos Brewhouse for a day. Cheers from Kyle.
Almost every club.
Right.
And if you can't,
except for that one that hates Chaos.
You know who you are. You're not invited.
Right. You know what? I am putting that on the list, Kyle. That doesn't mean I'm guaranteed to go there. But your timing looks right. Your August situation. I might be able to make that happen. So thank you. I'm putting you on the list, and JP will send me your email address.
Yes. Okay.
So that I can get you on a list. Can we start doing that like a doc for all of that? Because we got a couple things here.
All right.
Here's another one. From Brian, hey, Justin, in your 2020 travels, you should come to Wisconsin in early August. We have the great taste of the Midwest. I've heard of that. He says it's the second largest beer festival behind GABF. Pretty fun fest in a park on a lake. And all the Midwest breweries are in attendance, and they bring their special beers. Great Taste is also the culmination of Madison Beer Week. So also a lot of breweries around the Midwest doing special events and brewer's dinners. And he goes on to say he could help me out. That one is also August.
Oh, I want to go. Let's go.
So that's Wisconsin in August.
Bring me there.
So that's from Brian. Let's get him on the list. I like that idea. The Great Taste sounds good. And anyway, if you haven't heard about this, the Brewing Network is hitting the road from like April through at least October next year, where all the session shows, most of the session shows will be done from the road, and we're looking for different places to go and give us interesting content. Keeping interesting content when you send your emails.
Well, you know, we have the largest raccoon bone penis deboning party this side of the Canadian border. And I really want you to hold down your own raccoon and rip its penis bone.
Oh, man, I'll just film.
That'll be fine.
Okay. Ben writes in, I had to decipher this one a little without a subject line, but I determined after a little while that this email's about my balls.
Ah.
And I think it's because, I don't know when, but on a recent show, I was talking about I had a nut problem, and I had to go to the ER, yeah. And then I was there, and while I was there, every nurse, receptionist, doctor, orderly, every person I saw in a public space in the hospital kept asking me what my problem was.
Yeah, every person you saw.
And every time I'm like, you know, I just have a little pain, a little discomfort, a little thing, you know, and they're like, well, where, what, it, I'm, you know, it's kind of a little sensitive. Where is it? It's on my balls. Okay? I'm like yelling my balls through the hospital hallways. So that was what happened. That was the rant. So Ben wanted to write in, not that I have experienced this, but the interwebs have taught me things I didn't want to know. One of the possible reasons so many staff people kept asking what the problem with you was could have been that there are people in this world even more disturbing than the brewcasters. There are people who fake injury and go to the ER to fulfill inappropriate urges, i.e. they get a rush from getting people to look at their junk. He says,
yeah, Dan, don't kink shame Bev, first of all.
He says, I'm not a doctor, and I think that Dr. Wang, who was the doctor I spoke to on the phone, but this is the funny part of the story.
Yeah.
My advice nurse puts me on the phone with Dr. Wang, should have told you to see your primary care doctor. Wait, let's just go back for a second. I don't think that they kept asking me why I was there to discover if I was there to get a rush out of being a flasher or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like they would know because of how apprehensive you were.
That's what I mean.
Right?
So I'm not saying that Ben here is wrong, that people don't do that. But I think it was pretty clear that I'm like standing in a crowded room and you want me to talk about my balls.
Yeah. You're muttering the word.
You're asking me to talk about
balls.
Yeah.
I feel like otherwise you would just come in with them out. You would walk into the ER with them hanging out and go, oh, my balls hurt, everybody. Do your balls hurt? Why are you here? Because my balls hurt.
Thank you. Then, you know what? Had I done that, I'd have gotten more fucking privacy.
Yeah.
Because they would have ushered me into a back room.
A cell,
and been
yeah.
like, sir, yeah, you can't. They would have still had to treat me.
Yeah.
But they would have been like, you can't do that. But you can? They can do it?
Right.
They can run through the halls yelling, Justin's balls hurt?
They're basically like cops. They can do whatever they want.
Well,
yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he said, anyway, I'm not a doctor, though, but I do think that Dr. Wang should have told you to see your primary care physician ASAP, not the ER.
He probably was like, what do I care?
Regardless, I hope you're feeling better. Thank you. My balls do seem to be fine. Yeah. I appreciate that. But he does go on to say that my inclination not to go was correct. And he thinks there are only 2.5 reasons to go to an ER. One, uncontrollable bleeding. Two, unconsciousness. Oh. And 2.5, pain so bad, you're fading in and out of consciousness.
I mean, all of those make sense, although I don't know how you can get yourself to the ER if you're unconscious, but...
Right.
Honestly, I'm
somebody else calls
to agree
for
with
you.
Him.
So I am now, too, especially... But Dr. Wang... So, listen, I'm talking to the advice nurse,
yeah,
and she goes off and talks to Dr. Wang on her own, and then comes back on the line and goes, the doctor thinks... this is before I knew he was Dr. Wang. The doctor thinks you need to go to the ER, like, right away. And I'm like, what? I was like, you know, I really asked. I said, are you sure? Because, like, I get it, but can't I? It was a Saturday. It was a Saturday, right? So
yeah.
I'm like, can't I just go to, like, try to get, like, a quick, can't you make me an appointment with my physician, like, on Monday?
Or, like urgent,
what's going to happen?
You could have gone to urgent care.
There's no urgent care in the Kaiser system.
I feel like.
ER.
I feel like. Dr. Wang was probably like, well, I mean, you know, if it hurts that bad, he should go to the ER. And then she interpreted.
No. I'm not done. Because now I'm interrogating her. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I get that I know I'm the one calling you, but I feel like, are you telling me that 24 hours from now, really much can happen? And she's like, all right, he kind of said there would, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on the phone with the doctor.
Okay.
So that she didn't just want to interpret. She then...
Okay.
So she comes, puts me on hold. She comes back, Mr. Crosley. I have Dr. Wang on the phone, to which I just laughing. You know, yeah. So I'm like, okay, lady. But it's Dr. Wang. Yeah. And he says the same thing, and he goes, look, in his fucking brilliant opinion...
Yeah.
Turned out to be wrong. He's like, it's only one of three things, and none of them are good. You know, he's like, it's an infection that's going like the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of, I don't even remember what the three things were, but they all resulted in either a bad infection or loss of a ball, mm-hmm. You know, or loss of like reproductive skills. And I'm like, cool, tell me more about that one.
Right.
Because how long do I have to wait for that to happen? And anyway, kind of puts the fear of balls in me.
Right.
But in hindsight, I should have stuck with my instinct, which was like, you know, it's uncomfortable and it's getting worse, but what's really going to happen in the next 24 hours?
Well, but...
Because I got
know.
There and there's nothing wrong with me.
I can tell you, you paid a really high copay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You well, sat around
it was
for
not bad, but
a
yeah.
while.
Yeah.
Somebody looked at your balls and then you went home.
At least there's that. At least someone looked at your balls.
Yeah.
And that's got to be cool.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple someones.
That's cool.
Not, none of that was comfortable for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I tend to agree.
All right.
His closing statement is that my tease about reformatting the session as an on-the-road one-on-one show concerns him because it would be a big change and change is uncomfortable. Ben, I think it's going to be fine. You guys hang in there with me. Trust me. You know, I've gotten you this far. You and my balls. What is this? Daniel writes in. Daniel of Gotland.
Gotland.
Maybe I don't understand because I'm Swedish, but in the Tasty IPA read, you say, drinks easily, but isn't necessarily easy drinking.
Yes.
Isn't that the same thing? He says, anyway, great addition with the new co-host. Smash the pastryarchy. Kvike the world. Nordic farmhouse is coming.
Uh-oh.
It's very threatening.
Damn.
That's from Daniel.
If we want to, I don't know.
I don't think they're the same thing, but I have to admit I don't know what it means either.
I don't know what it means. It's just, it's like...
I think it means it is easy drink, that it drinks easily, it goes down smooth, but it because of all those hops in there, it also has a lot of complexity. So it's not just like, I'm just going to drink this easily and not have anything to talk about or...
Exactly. I think easy drinking, easily approachable, easy drinking. It's not super bitter.
Yeah,
it's still well rounded and balanced. It has a lot of flavor characters to it. So, you know, you're not just going to forget about it.
Right.
You'll work at it. You'll be like, oh, this is, you know, and you can talk about it.
There you go.
Let's just call Sully and
tell him. Yeah. All right. I'll wait to say who this is from to the end.
Okay.
But it starts. Good day, guys. Not sure if you remember me, but I used to listen to the Brewing Network. A while ago, family and sports got in the way of brewing to the point where I went more than 12 months between brews. But in the last couple of weeks, I brewed twice, one for my club's barrel-aged Imperial Stout and the other a pale ale. And now I'm back planning my next brew, which will be a Pilsner. I just have to find the time between kayak fishing. That's one thing, I guess. Kayak fishing, my own podcast, and the odd game of golf.
Kayak fishing.
I really have to specify.
I caught a Whopper. I caught a two-person fucking extreme Cabela's the other day.
Fishing for kayaks. Yeah. Why do you have to specify? Why can't you say fishing? Now that the football season is over, he must mean rugby if he's from Australia.
I'm going to guess soccer.
Oh, yeah. Soccer, football. Okay. Got it. I found more time for listening to other podcasts, so I've listened to the last five episodes of the session. It's good to hear that as much as things change, they stay the same. So, I don't know. That must just be the three of us are still here. But he also goes on to diagnose my ball and says,
okay,
I think your problem was a twisted testicle. I had the same thing, pain for a few days, and then it just went away.
Okay. Testicular torsion?
It's possible, I guess. I don't know. Doctor didn't know.
Don't get your nuts in a twist.
Right. But he has just one question. Where's Doc?
Mm.
BN Army for life. Cheers, Josh, a.k.a. Who ate all the pies?
Oh, my friend.
Yeah, who ate all the pies?
Who ate all the pies? You did, you fat bastard.
You did, you did. Love that guy. Thanks for writing in. I hope you're doing well, pies, and it's good to hear from you.
And if you're into like a cricket, I think it's a cricket pod, it's Bats and Balls podcast.
Oh, is that his, that's the podcast?
That's
okay.
His pod,
all right. Great name. All right.
So he should know about your...
Yes.
About your ball.
He probably knows.
In the name of, you know, his, it's in his purview.
Okay. Orion writes in, Dear Brewing Network, all I want for Christmas is a session holiday meltdown show. My dream lineup would be Doc, Nicole, Sam, and Brendan Moylan.
Jesus Christ. That's like, yeah, we should play Fantasy Brewcast your lineup.
Absolutely not. I'm not coming in that night.
He says, I'm at the moment 8 sessions behind, so if it's already happened, please accept my gratitude. Yeah, it totally already happened.
Yeah, and you missed it, man.
No, you know, I did look at the schedule because I thought that maybe it would be fun to do a little one, but I don't think we can. Our last show of the year is with Charlie Bamforth, and I don't feel like he's our meltdown guest, you know?
Yeah, although I feel like Charlie Bamforth... 5 pints in is the same Charlie Bamforth when he wakes up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like he can handle himself very, very well.
He processes. Yeah, he's part of the Illuminati, and he processes things better than we do.
That's right.
He can do all the things without it hurting him.
That's true. Well, he's been around so long, and like you said, he's in the Illuminati. He's very connected.
Yeah.
He has...
He's also 207.
He has the pills to deactivate the alcohol enzyme.
Yeah.
But still get a little buzz.
Yeah.
He has the cure that we're after, and he just drops it in his drink. If you ever notice, every once in a while, he'll just turn his back to you.
We're going to have to get him on the board of our foundation and see.
Oh, see where we could go with that, because we could definitely go to new heights.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is going to happen, but Orion, I'll tell you this. It's not out of the question that maybe like the last segment of our last show, I could probably invite some people and maybe have a little fun.
We could try it.
We haven't had fun. We don't like fun anymore.
We haven't had fun in a long time.
We don't like fun around here anymore. Maybe we can have some fun. Oh, let's see. Another guy said he got his shirt, Bevo. I got my prize in the mail today. Looks awesome. He likes that the Hop Grenade sweet number stands for just kidding, which I never thought about that. Our sweet number is JK.
And
that never crossed my mind. Mm. Hop Grenade, we're here, JK.
We're not.
Now he's going to sign up as a sergeant in the B Army as a thank you.
Oh.
And to pitch in for gas money on the BN road trip.
There you go.
He wants to know how soon the online store is going to be up and running so I can grab some stuff. I don't know, man.
Yeah, dickhead.
I'm doing my best. No, I appreciate you asking. You know, it's like, it's low on the list. I hate to admit, but I'm trying. I'm trying.
Yeah, God bless, man.
Does this matter? This is funny. Just about an old show. Dave writes in, I was just listening to the session from February 13th, and Schumann's band is playing, and he's playing a song called Fall on the Blade. And he says, I hope the blade pierces both of my fucking eardrums on the way down so I don't have to hear this shit anymore. I can't wait to send this to Schumann. That's good stuff. Something from okay. Last one. We'll do some quick advice. Basically, Andrew from Australia writes in that he's been missing our show, and now he's back. He's been homebrewing. He homebrews in Australia. The Australian summer can be a bit of an issue in fermentation because he doesn't have any temperature control. So he wants to know what types of brews are best to handle in the warmer, more volatile temperature changes. He goes on to say, I'm not a fan of saisons, though, so I'm not sure where best to turn. All right, look, I don't know what to tell you. You need temperature control is the number one answer to this question. You need temperature control. But... I will say, everyone's talking about this Kvike yeast.
Yeah.
And if you absolutely refuse to add some temperature control, why not experiment with it? I've had some good ones. I've had some bad ones.
True.
I don't think yet that they make, like, every beer to style, like some people think. Like, some people think, don't worry, put a Kvike in, Pilsner.
Right.
Don't worry, put a Kvike in, Pale Ale. I don't subscribe to that theory yet. No one's proven that to me yet. But they have proven to me that you can ferment a beer at 100 fucking degrees and come out with a drinkable beer.
Yeah.
I've had some drinkable beers. So, number one answer, add temperature control.
Yes.
My number two is try the Kvike.
You
Why
can
not?
Try it, yeah. Or, you know what, also, number three is it might not be possible. If you don't want to add fermentation control, you don't want to add temperature control, yeah. If you don't want to even just get a little kiddie pool, put your carboy in it with water,
yeah.
Put a towel over that, and so it wicks up, you know, the water wicks up the towel, put a fan on that to cool it down a little bit, you can get 5, 10, maybe 10 degrees off of your fermentation, and then you can do something. If you don't want to do any of that, then you're just shit out of luck, dude. There's not a whole lot. If you don't like Saisons, there's not a whole lot you can do. If you're talking 95 degrees, you know what? Even Cal Ale is going to suffer, I think, at that point. So
I agree.
You might just not. You might be out of it.
Yeah.
Go on Craigslist, pick a fridge up for $25-$50.
There you go.
Throw a temp control on it for $25-$50.
I think
$100, you got it.
I think everything in Australia starts at $1,000.
Yeah.
Including like a beer.
Loonies?
So,
are they loonies? Is that the money?
That's Canadian.
Oh.
Yeah. That's Canadian money. Because their national bird is like a loon.
Oh.
That's on thing.
Oh.
There's also toonies.
Oh, shit. I used to watch those on Saturday morning.
Yeah. And it's a mixed metal. There's two metals.
Okay. There you go.
Wow.
All right. I have to get us to a break.
Impressive.
Thank you to that was Andrew, by the way. Thank you to everybody who wrote in. Please send your feedback over to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. We love to hear from you, as you can tell, because we spent a long time on your segment. So please write in. When we come back, Buffalo Creek Brewing Company. Buffalo Creek out of Long Grove, Illinois. We're going to be speaking to Mike. Hang in there. It's The Session, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tuned into This Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right. Welcome back to The Session, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. Having a good time tonight, drinking some beer, and we've got Buffalo Creek Brewing on the line with us. We should have Mike Marr hanging out. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys tonight?
We're doing very nice. Thanks for hanging in there with us while we got through our first segment of feedback so that we could get through that and get on to you and talk about your beer. So welcome to the show. Folks at home, you can go to BuffaloCreekBrewing.com if you want to check it out. And Mike, when did you open? You're the owner and the brewmaster, right?
I am the owner and brewmaster.
When did you open?
We opened up July of 2017.
Okay. All right. So you're fresh in this game, but what about before? Were you a pro brewer or home brewer?
I was a home brewer for 15 years before opening this endeavor.
Got it. And what was your day job then?
So back then I used to own a software company.
Okay.
And had about 35 employees, and we built software systems for financial services.
Got it.
Sounds boring as hell.
Well,
you know something? It's really sexy stuff.
I'm sure, though, it probably you probably did very well at doing it, and then I'm guessing it helped you in your small business.
It has. this is actually the third business I've owned. I've owned two software companies, and after selling the last one, I've decided to kind of take a different stance on life and do something I like doing. And believe it or not, back in the day when I started the computer stuff, it was a hobby that turned pro. And, you know, they did that for about 25 years.
Wow.
And so now I've been homebrewing for 15 years, professional now for just almost 3 years.
Got it.
And It's been an eye-opener, I will tell you that.
I'm sure it has. Can I ask you this semi-personal question, I guess? Were you able to fund your business through the sale of your other companies, or did you still have to go out and get financing? And
So I was able to go out and fund. I could have funded the whole thing with the sale of the company, but I did go through the process because I built a pretty extensive business plan. Mm-hmm. I had some friends who came in and did a Series A financing on the last company I had towards the end. Had that one for about 15 years, and they did all of them did very well. They some of them doubled or tripled their money in the course of 2-3 years.
Wow.
Damn.
So that's great.
They wanted in on this one again. Figuring out what Mike's going to do next, and I'm like, okay, I'm doing this, and they're like, really?
That's great.
And so I built a business plan, and it was pretty solid, solid enough to be able to go out and get financing through the bank, and also to get an SBA loan.
Got it. You know, and so as I ask that question in the back of my head, I'm thinking, too, that the advice that my successful business friends have always given me is don't spend your own money.
Use other yes. people's money. You got it.
Yeah. So, and here you are with a very obviously carefully thought out plan. You have a great reputation, it sounds like, as your former partners are ready to do whatever you're ready to do next. Yeah. Keep your money in the bank, my friend. Good job.
Thank you.
So you're out of Long Grove, Illinois, and is that kind of a suburb of Chicago, or?
Yeah, so we're about 30 miles northwest of Chicago, and so if you go straight north and get off, there's a road called Half Day, and it's directly in between Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay.
So if you get off that road off the highway, go about 6 miles west, and you'll find us.
Why did you choose that town? Is that where you're from?
No, I don't live too far from here, but this is a quaint little town. It's a historic town. It's been here since the 1800s. It's primarily comprised of German immigrants, and all the suburban sprawl around us. You know, you got houses and apartment buildings and townhouses all on top of each other. And then you got this one little community right in the middle called Long Grove. And Long Grove has got 2-acre zoning. Most people have, anywhere from 10 to 15 acres, nice horse farms, all the million-dollar houses. It's a beautiful place to, set up a business.
Nice.
And so we were over here looking at places, and we had about 4 different locations we were looking at. And this one, we were actually looking at the building next door to it, and just happened to stumble. I parked in front of it one day and stumbled across when we came out, and I'm like, hey, let's check this place out. It's got a for sale sign, and it was a 17,000 square foot,
good Lord,
former art gallery and studio.
So that, all right, now everything you've described up until this point, I'm with you. I'm like, all right, this town sounds great, yeah. And it sounds like a weekend destination for everybody around. Maybe not just, that's a Thursday, Friday, where are you going to go if you're in those apartments right nearby? You're going there. Everything sounds great until you said 17,000 square feet. That's a monster.
Believe it or not, this building lets me know every now and then how big it is.
Okay.
And we do have a we've turned this in this brewery our brewing project that we've started here is actually turned into 4 different companies, and so we have and that's not even including just maintenance of the building, but we have a production brewery.
Okay.
We have a tap room, we have distribution, and then we have our event space. So we've kind of turned, while we continue to grow our distribution, we really, need to be able to make money to get the company in the black. And, I kind of, as I built the business plan, I was looking at what size was the minimum that I needed to be able to get this company in the black as soon as possible.
Got
and, we've kind of stumbled across a niche market where we do a lot of weddings. And so last year, in the first year we opened, we did 1 wedding. In the second year we did, or in the in the I guess in 2018 we did 13 weddings.
Wow.
And this year we've done 14, and we have one more in the last weekend of the year.
Okay.
And so we'll have 15 weddings, and people now have booked us out all the way into 2022.
This is really smart. A lot of people don't talk about this side of things. So I like how you're talking about there's four businesses in one, because most people your size come on and say, well, yeah, we're a brew pub with a little bit of distribution. Mm. But you're really talking about some really significant facets of your business that help you not only stay afloat, but grow. The wedding business, the wedding event business, it can be a big deal.
It's definitely a big deal. And here in the, you know, historic downtown Long Grove, you know, we have the festivals. This is a festival town. So there's the three big festivals. We have Chocolate Fest, Strawberry Fest, Apple Fest. You know, we like our foods.
Okay, yeah.
And each one of those festivals, they're 3 days long, and they bring in 35,000 customers in a weekend.
Good. And wow.
Those people, our place is just jamming on those 3 weekends. But we can't live all 3 weekends a year. So all the other things that we do, you know, just keeping our event space full. We have a part-time event coordinator who works with bringing people in and marketing the spaces that we have.
So is the tasting room, are you kind of saying it can be a little quiet in between events? You know, in other words, you're not like bursting at the seams with that tasting room where you don't have to worry about doing events or anything else.
You know, on the weekends, the tasting room is completely packed.
Okay,
and
yeah.
But we have an event space upstairs that holds another 95 people. Rooms off of that that can hold another 15. There's a patio upstairs that holds another 60. We have a beer garden out back that holds another 100. We got the lawns that are covered with picnic tables, and so we had an Oktoberfest here, first weekend of October, and we estimate somewhere around 1,800 people showed up.
Wow. In your establishment?
In our establishment.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Oh, good for you, man. You picked a good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as we just keep it going. You know, it's a constant battle. There's always new challenges, and our biggest challenge right now is just getting the distribution going with all the other breweries that are around here.
So let me ask you this, on that note. Do you find yourself enjoying it more and less stressful than your previous careers, which you were still an entrepreneur? You still had to deal with these things. And now you've taken your hobby and turned it into making a living, which, you know, it comes with some stress. And I can hear in your voice a little bit like, yeah, hey, this is good, but we still always have to do something. Are you happier?
I you know, here's the thing. I can come here at 4 o'clock in the morning, mash in, brew beer all day, go out and do some sales calls or work with the sales staff. Hang out in the tap room, have a few beers, and get out of here, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I still drive home with a smile on my face.
Okay, there we go. Hours are long, it's a lot of work, but you like the work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it is a lot of fun. You know, there are days that it's a drain on you, but fortunately, you know, we have beer.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you have to forgive me. I don't know if you mentioned it when you were describing the town or it's just in my notes here, but the town has a German heritage, right?
They do. It was settled by German immigrants. The town was originally called Muttersholz, which is actually one of our beers. It's our German Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And Muttersholz used to be in Germany, and then after World War One and the redivision of lines, it's now 10 miles inside the French border. And so we, our 1 year anniversary, we had a Muttersholz Fest, and everyone was, you know, they can't pronounce it. They always want
right.
to Muttersholz.
Yeah, I was looking at it on your website, and I was like, what is Muttersholz? But then I read the description, and I said, oh, it must be Mutter.
Yeah, it's mother, and it's German for mother's woods.
Okay.
And then, as they continue to progress here in this town, they wanted to have something more of an American name, and this is a Long Grove. And if you look at a lot of the towns around here, so there's Lake Forest, it's in between Lake Michigan and a forest, so they. they kind of take the geographic features and use those for the names of the towns.
But even that's German. I mean, that's a German thing. That's just be literal about the whole damn thing and call it Long Grove.
Exactly.
I like it. So with that, then, you guys have taken on, I know you like German and Belgian style beers. And was that a takeaway from you as a home brewer too? Were you always into German and Belgian styles?
Yeah, so when I used to go to the store, you know, even as a kid, I would go out and buy beers that, you know, I grew up in upstate New York. We had Molson Golden, we had OV Splits, we had Labatt's, and then there was a Miller plant that wasn't too far away. But, you know, the Molson Golden was kind of our go-to beer because it was, you know, it was our strange exotic beer because it came from, you know, 45 miles over the border. And then we started, as I got older, I was introduced to German beers and all these different styles of beer. And where I went to college, there was a place that was called Sherlock Holmes, and they had beers from around the world. And so while you're going to college there, you try to go in and drink all the beers from around the world.
Okay.
And that's really where I was introduced to a lot of the different styles of beer. And we had a brewery next to the college, which was also pretty nice to go and hang out and have a few. But the German and Belgian style beers, I mean, German beers, they're clean, they're classic.
Yeah.
These are things that, you know, these are drinks that people have been drinking for hundreds of years. The alcohol content's not off the charts. The hop and the hops and the malts are very well balanced, and that's where really, you know, drinkable, sessionable beers that we try to focus on.
Yeah,
and so it takes, you know, a little bit more time. It takes a little bit more craft to actually brew some of these nice, clean styles. But we've been able to perfect it on the big equipment that we got.
That's so, and I think your description of German style beers is fantastic. And I would only add that on top of all that clean and drinkability and balance, is that they're also super interesting and flavorful. And that's what I've always loved about them. The first time I had a real German Helles, I just thought, well, wow, it's everything that Mike just described, but it's also so full-bodied and full of, you know, I can taste the malt, I can taste the hops, and I've been drinking Natural Light.
Taste, you know, that you just love. And,
yeah.
It's another style that I've brewed in the past that we have not made it here in the brewery, but it's on the docket for 2020.
There we go.
Man, even just a German Hef.
Right.
You know, because when I started drinking, it was the mid to late 90s where sort of American Hefeweizen just dominated the marketplace, at least out here. And when you first have that German Hef that's fresh, it's not sitting on the shelf for too long, there's so much complexity. I think that's what really sucks people into homebrewing.
Yeah.
Is when they try these beers and then they go, wow, I can do this. I can make these flavors. It is sort of above and beyond, and it's weird how a lot of current craft is sort of we've expanded, right? And then we sort of contract to, like, well, just hop flavor. Let's just focus on hop flavor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but I think with a lot of the lagers are coming back into you know, vogue now.
Sure. And back into favor.
Yeah, where you can get a lot more, you know, you're expanding with the malt character more and doing some more stuff with yeast. And not, it's not so much hop dominated as beer has a lot more ingredients than just hops. You can get a lot more flavors out of that, too. So,
Mike, what do you think about that? Yeah, is that part of your philosophy?
You know,
too?
So you guys are hitting the nail right on the head. You know, there's four ingredients in beer, and with those four ingredients, each one has its place. You know, the water profile, you know, we have an RO system here, so we can actually take, and I travel quite a bit, so we can take water samples from anywhere we go, bring them back here, get them analyzed, and actually reproduce the same water that we could find at another brewery. The malts, you got to select the right malts, and you got to use them appropriately. You know, anyone can go in and use a lot of specialty malts and have a huge a malt bill.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're going to make a better beer. I mean, our Hefeweizen, it's a very simple malt bill, but we've learned it's actually with the yeast where we really get the complex flavors that we're looking for.
Sure.
If we ferment at 65 degrees, it comes out with a very clove-like flavor. If we go to 75 degrees, it comes out with more of like a banana boat. But at 70 degrees, we get that perfect combination of the clove and the banana.
Right. So you're really knowing the ingredient for the style of beer. I think you're onto something there. But I would say, I think JP just said it, and I think, Mike, you must be feeling it too. We are coming back to these styles, but frankly, if you had opened 8 to 10 years ago, you might have struggled by focusing on these. Maybe not Belgians, but by focusing on Germans, because that was like the dawning of the dominance of the IPA, right?
Yeah.
So, in other words, you're in the right time.
Right, and we have a couple hop-forward beers. We have our American Pale Ale. It's got the Classic 3, Centennial, Cascade, and Citra in it.
Beautiful.
And we dry hop with the Cascade and Citra just to give it a little extra flavor at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a New England IPA called Too Tall IPA. It's actually named after the we had a historic bridge here in town that a unfortunate individual decided to drive a box truck through.
Oh. It was one time, Mike. I'm sorry. I was just passing through, and
oh my God, they almost did a Rodney King on him.
Oh no, I bet it's a historic bridge. Oh man,
historic bridge. We had just gotten historic status on it.
Oh no.
Beforehand. And
we got to harp on this. We got to harp on this for a second. Was it a commercial driver or like a guy with like a moving truck or what?
It was a commercial driver making deliveries for one of the local restaurants.
Oh gosh!
Woof.
And did people just like come running out? And
they came running out. And he you know, he was kind of a goofball, a young kid.
Okay.
He gets out and he starts laughing about it. And
oh.
He's lucky the sheriff showed up. Otherwise, you know, they probably would have killed him.
Oh, he handled that wrong. Yeah, you got to instantly...
You got to read the crowd.
You got to go, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm the idiot. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Is there... There's no YouTube video of that, Mike?
No, but if you actually take a look, you know... I don't know if...
What was the bridge...
Something on Skype here, a picture of it.
Yeah, what was the bridge called again?
It's called Too Tall IPA is the name of the beer.
Okay. Ah, right. Okay. because truck's too tall.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
go ahead.
Give me just a second here. We've actually made light of it a little bit. And
I mean, yeah, because a little time has gone by for everyone to heal from this idiot jumping out of his truck and laughing. The poor kid, though. I mean, he probably afterward just felt like a jerk, you know.
Oh, he did, and so I just sent you something through your Skype here.
Okay, cool.
Or not, but yeah, we actually took a digital picture of the bridge and superimposed a 1950s box truck in front of it.
There we go. There we go. It didn't come through. That's okay. Send it to me in an email afterward, and I'll put it up on our show page so people can see it too.
Okay.
And I'll link it to the beer name. That way, when they click on the image, they go to your beer that you named after it.
There you go.
But all right. Well, that's cool. I mean, well, the story of the beer is cool anyway. So you're not saying, look, we're not going to brew hoppy beers. We're not going to give people what they might like. And I like that. You have to do that. I guess I'm just saying, too, that the leeway you're given to do as many German styles also is because the times are changing a bit and like going full circle, you know. Oh,
you know,
there it is.
We've been
it just
watching the Brewers Association data and. Year after year for the past 2 years, the IPAs have decreased 40% for the beers that are being sold.
Wow.
And so as we watch that, we feel that people are going to be coming back to the beers that we've been brewing. And, you know, we fill our tap room. We sell a lot of beer through distribution. The restaurants we put our beer into, they're looking for something. They're like, please tell me it's not another IPA.
Right, right.
God bless them. Well, I feel like being in like sort of the Midwest area, you know, you're kind of a shoo-in for those, you know, lager styles. I think, in California, when you see a lager on tap, you're like, wow, what's happening right now? You check your clock and make sure it's not, April Fool's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, all right, so the first beer from you that we have in our glass, since we're talking German styles here anyway, is your Marvelous, that's the name, Marvelous Kolsch.
Yep.
So tell us about this beer.
So the beer is actually named after me. My last name's Mar with two R's. That's why there's two R's in Marvelous.
Got it. Because at first I thought it was kind of a cocky name. But now I got you. I hear you. I thought you were calling your shot.
No, no. And this is a beer, actually. So when I started homebrewing, this is a recipe that I created about 6 or 7 months after, you know, after I had started. You know, the first couple batches of beer weren't all that great. You know, you're trying to get it down, trying to figure out what you need to do. And,
yeah.
You know, I've read the books, but then the practice is where it actually comes into play to make a good beer. And so I had a friend who challenged me to, he's like, you know, if you want to make a beer and you want to make something good, make a good Kolsch. So this Kolsch, it's a little different than what you'd find in Cologne.
Yeah.
You know, we had to put our own spin on it. But this is a beer, like I said, the recipe has not changed in 17 years. And it is a, almost, if you think of it, it's like a wheat Kolsch. So we put a little bit of wheat in there, so you're going to get a little bit of a cloudiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that really adds to the flavor, to the head retention, and gives you a nice, nice refreshing beer. And it's one of the beers that, you know, we make 500 gallons of it every 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's always fresh.
Yeah, that's a drinker. And what kind of hops are in it? Is it noble hops, too, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So there's Tanang and Saz in it.
All right. And you said wheat, but are you just using like German pills and wheat, and that's it, or?
It's German pills, wheat. We do add a little bit of Munich and Vienna to it.
Okay.
And a little bit of caramel 20 as well.
Got it. It's got a little color to it, also. It's not. It,
yep.
You're right about it. Has kind of an unfiltered look to it, but it also has a little bit of a not quite amber hue, but like a deep straw. You know.
Yes.
So.
Yep, and then when it's served in the cans, you always get a little bit of that more of that cloudiness in the when it goes in draft and it's been able to you know sit in the cooler for another week.
Yeah,
you know it lagers there for a week and it does clarify quite a bit.
Okay,
I get a little like a biscuity malt too out of it.
Like you said, Munich, so I would go that right. That's probably from that.
Yeah. It's from the Munich.
Yeah, it's definitely not what I expect a Kolsch to be, but damn, that's an easy drinking beer.
Yeah,
and what I like about easy drinking beers like this is that it's low alcohol, kind of low body, but you get that malt character coming through, and so you get a flavor. And sort of what we were talking about a little bit ago, beers with flavor.
Some
we're coming
character.
Back to like easy drinking beers, but just because it's easy drinking doesn't mean it's a light beer.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that it has no character, no flavor. This has that big Munich punch, and it's very good.
I also get the biscuit malt. It's got a great mouthfeel, and then like a floral finish, which.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's tetanang or maybe from the malt mixing with the hops, but I get
probably everything.
I like a Kolsch with a floral finish. I've had lots of Kolsches with that, so maybe it is a hop character.
Or yeast. Could be a yeast thing, too.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah. Personally, you know, I think you're. It's just a combination of all the ingredients going together.
Yeah.
What that kind of give it that flavor.
What temperature do you ferment your Kolsch at?
65.
Mm. And what, do you mind saying what yeast you use?
Well, we used to go with Y yeast for everything, but because it's so expensive to get it shipped out here, Omega has been making some fantastic yeast.
Okay.
And so we stick with Omega now for almost everything we do. And, you know, when I get the Kolsch yeast from them, it does change a little bit from batch to batch. We'll use it, you know, 6 or 7 times. In a row, and the first time you're going to get more of a clean pace, and then one time after that is the exact taste that we're always looking for.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, and then but then you keep going anyway, right?
We keep going. Yep.
Yeast is expensive, so
it is expensive, and you know we've gotten pretty good at harvesting the yeast and making sure that, especially with the Kolsch, because we're making this so often. It doesn't make sense to keep getting fresh yeast for it.
Sure. Do you, now, because you stick to you know a few styles here, how many yeast do you have to bring in-house, do you think?
We have about 6 or 7 on average.
And do you maintain those in terms of like a brink or a pitch, or you just kind of get them going, do the batches you need, and then move on to the next yeast?
No, no. We basically try to keep them healthy. We don't have a yeast brink. It's one of those things that
on the list.
As this place makes more money, we'll be purchasing one of those.
Sure.
But right now, we work to keep it healthy. We've got a sterile process that we use to make sure that everything is there's nothing being introduced from batch to batch.
Okay. At the risk of putting you on the spot here, I just think other pro brewers and startup brewers would like to know the answer to this question.
How much money are you making? Right?
No. Of your, you talk about as you grow, we'll get this, we'll get that. What's at the top of your list? Like, hey, if we can get
like
anything we can get,
dream.
What's
thing.
At the top of your list for the brewery? Do you know?
Right now, it's a new roof, actually.
Okay. That's fair.
Practical. I love it.
Uh-oh.
Now, the thing is, this building was built in 92. It's got the original cedar shake roof on it.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, they put down a rubber roof first, so everything is fine. It's all well-maintained.
Got it.
But some of those shingles up there, they're like potato chips, and it's one of those things I think it would really clean up the building. And then the other thing is we'd like to expand our beer garden. Our beer garden holds up about 100 people, but
that's pretty good.
What we'd like to do is where we have the lawns, maybe get rid of the lawns and put in a traditional German beer garden where with all the tile out there and drains and do some fire pits and really make it nice.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I think I saw, and maybe it was you, I always Google photos of, all the breweries we have on. I feel like I saw a photo of a bunch of Jeeps park on your back lawn or something. Do you guys have like a car show there? Or?
Yeah, so we...
That was cool.
We're pretty good friends with the Jail Bars Jeep Club. And so they come once a year to have their family picnic.
Got it.
And we allow them to bring all the Jeeps in, and they put about 65 Jeeps on the property.
It looked like it. It was super cool. I won't tell them that you're going to rip it all out and put in fire pits.
they're okay with that. We still keep a few rocks out there so they can drive up on them. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. And then just because I want to make sure we get through your beer before we go to break, we now have your Belgian farmhouse Saison, which is called Farmer's Illegit Daughter. Fantastic name. Also a nice can, I want to say.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys think so.
I know.
A little controversy over it.
Mike, when I first looked, I went on your website to look at it before I even saw the cans because Bevo takes care of that for us. And I looked, and I'm okay with it. I like the cans, and it also goes with the name. But the first thing I thought was like, oh, this guy's gotten shit for these labels.
Yeah.
We have, but at the same time, when we go to the beer festivals, it's the first beer that's always gone, and the people that are ordering it, it's always the women. They love the name. They think it's funny.
Yeah, it's a funny name. Okay, who you are.
Some of the guys will come up to me, and I'm like, can't really call it a farmer's bastard, can I? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, that's what an illegit daughter is,
Yeah.
Illegit daughter, illegit son, they're still a bastard.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, keep the name.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Picture is actually a friend of mine that posed for it. She's kind of a punk girl.
Yeah.
And has one side of her head shaved. So the original version when it was the farmer's daughter, before we made it the farmer's illegit, was her and her boyfriend. And her boyfriend, he's got a punk haircut. And we actually had him dress up together and pose for some of the stuff we were doing.
Yeah. No, I'm sure, hey, it doesn't matter what you do now. Someone's angry about it. But
yeah, it's the vocal minority is always going to get you, especially on the social media. So don't worry about it.
Well, let's talk about the beer. I've just had myself a taste, and it's a very nice Belgian farmhouse. So, tell us about how you make this one.
So this one, we changed things a little bit with the yeast profile. Instead of using the Belgian yeast, we actually use the French Saison yeast.
Nice. Okay. I like this choice.
Yeah.
I didn't know I like this choice until you just mentioned it. Belgian farmhouse is not my favorite. I like, I'll tell you what. I like some qualities of a Belgian farmhouse and some qualities of a Saison, but I don't really like either one of them on their own.
Like, you like, what do you like about the saison? So, like the peppery kind of thing?
No, but this has like a subtle pepper, so I like, if it gets too much pepper, I don't like. Mm-hmm. And on the Belgian side, if it gets too like bubble gum or banana, I don't like. So anyhow, I'll let you describe it. Like I'm thinking that your choice put it right in the middle for me.
And that's what we were kind of going for. We, you know, we wanted to make something that was, you know, had that funk, you know, that, but we didn't want full on horse blanket.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we were trying to shoot for when we did this. And this beer was originally designed for going to a barbecue, believe it or not.
Okay.
So, and with a barbecue, with that floral taste and the peppery finish, it goes great with the Midwestern barbecue.
Or a German Rotwurst. I can taste that with this beer right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What is Midwestern barbecue?
I was going to ask.
What's give me like a specialty of Midwestern barbecue.
We copy everyone else's. Come on.
Okay.
That's all barbecue. Anyway.
Fair enough, yeah.
You got like Kansas City or you got... you know,
Kansas
like
City,
style.
St. Louis, where it's, you know, we have a lot of barbecue places around us.
Okay.
And a lot of them actually cater here.
Nice.
And so because of that, you know, this is one of those beers that many of those barbecue places actually will hold in their restaurants. Mm. And when people come here, this is one of the ones that they drink with it.
I can see that. It's killer.
Yeah, it's flavorful but dry. Mm-hmm. And that peppery kind of just, you know, takes off any sauce that you might have in your mouth or that fattiness from any of the food.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see this being a barbecue beer for sure.
And just a food beer in general.
Yeah.
There's, again, some floral notes going on. It does have a Belgian character to it, which gives that little sweetness. This is nice. Do you ferment this warm as well?
65.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not too warm. I mean, that's kind of keeping it right down there, I think.
Right. When we used to do this one, we used to ferment it at when we first started, we would ferment it at 65 and then raise it to 80 at the end, just so that it would kind of come back through and kind of do a cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
We realized though that it was changing the flavor too much, so now we just do it at 65 for 2 weeks.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you know, like Jamil would talk about how the real flavor profile from a yeast is only happening in that first like reproduction phase.
Yeah, like 2 to 3 days.
When they're ripping through. And that after that, you can go ahead and crank up the temps and nothing's really going to happen other than what you want to happen, like cleanup and stuff like that. But Mike, you're saying you really noticed a difference in the beer when you did that.
Yeah, but, well, there was too much cleanup, and you weren't getting that flavor.
I see.
That's the reason why we don't do it anymore.
I see.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, leave some of that in there.
Yeah.
And then do you can and distribute most of your beers? Because just what we got is cans, so just curious.
So you guys got a can of that and the Marvelous.
Yeah.
And you also got one of 42K.
Yeah.
And so the... right now we can 5 of our beers, which are the Marvelous Farmers 360 Pils, which is a Czech style pils, the Mutzer's Holtz, and I'm forgetting one here.
And then Manna,
which is our American Pale Ale.
And then you bottle some, or everything else is just kegs and growlers?
Everything else is kegs and growlers, and then we do, and you know, you guys have a special treat there, the one with the small batch label on it.
Yes.
Oh.
And we do hand package some stuff like that.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm going to get us to a break, and when we come back, we are going to taste the 42K, and this, to me, has a cool story behind it, so when we come back, I'm going to have you tell that. And then, it looks like you sent us a special barrel-aged beer, so we're going to get to all of that when we come back. Hang in there. You're listening to The Session, and we will be right back after these words.
The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, this is David Walker from Firestone Walker Brewing Company. You are listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And thanks to our guest, still with us, Mike Marr from Buffalo Creek Brewing out of Long Grove, Illinois. And you can go to BuffaloCreekBrewing.com to learn more about it. They got a great website. It's really well done, so you can get a lot of information about things there. Okay, so Mike, I want to just dive right into it because I just poured the beer. We've got 42K in the glass, but I was curious about the name when I saw that's what you were sending us, so I went and I looked it up, and apparently $42,000 was the cost of having a water line or your water usage permit for the new brewery.
Oh god,
it was the water connection fee,
just the connection fee to the city. Yeah. Water.
Yes, and on top of that, we you know, you can't have a brewery without water.
Well, right. And, yeah.
It's kind of one of the first ingredients you need. And so they charged us. I was the first one to kind of to bite on this. But the downtown village did not have city water when I bought the building. And so I made a deal with them that, you know, we would go ahead and do this. And there was supposed to be some kind of special tax assessment and everything. And that never happened because they couldn't get enough people on board, so I had to pretty much foot it. I and one other business, we had to foot the bill ourselves.
So let me understand. The downtown village that you're in didn't have city water, but they must have had water of some kind.
Everybody was on well water.
On well water, okay. And so any time a business asks, like, hey, how do we get on the water, the city said, well, it's going to be this massive amount of money, and so no one ever did it until you came along, because you want good water.
Exactly.
So at this point, then, what you're saying is you decided to do it along with another business, but everybody else downtown has now benefited from that as well?
Yeah, because when we did it, now granted, I do have the biggest pipe coming into the building.
Yeah.
We have a 6-inch pipe coming in here, where everyone else, even all the restaurants in town, the biggest pipe they have is a 2.5-inch pipe coming in.
Right.
And so the other restaurants, even that use much more water than we do, I think their water connection fee was only $21,000.
Okay. So I have questions and comments. My first comment is, Mike, that you are the water czar of of your town now.
Yeah.
And I know you don't control the water, but that's your goddamn water at $42,000.
So, oh, you betcha.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually the president of the downtown now. And
love it, yeah.
I've worked to make sure that everybody in this town gets water. I worked with the mayor of the village itself, and have kind of, you know, we go hand in hand. And the last of the hookups actually occurred last week.
Okay, wow, that's
so
amazing.
That's been going on now. So if you think about that, we hooked up to the water about 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's really incredible. What a project. So my question then is, because I know that you spent some time on your business plan. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you didn't account for this, that somewhere in the process that you had already acquired your building, maybe, I'm making assumptions based on how I would have done things.
Right.
You acquired your building, you get in the process, you're thinking there's water, and then you get this number one day. Tell me about how this occurred for you.
Well, there were a couple things like this that occurred and kind of threw our numbers for a loop. And There isn't a lot you can do with it. You just kind of, if you're going to do a business and you've already got this much invested, you're just going to roll with the punches.
So you had already, like, chosen and acquired the building before knowing about this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And so when we went through and we got everything hooked up, you know, that we were able to kind of mitigate some costs. And one of the things we did was we didn't get our canning line right when we opened. We were planning on having the canning line ready day one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hindsight being 2020, this was kind of a good thing because it took us about 6 months to really zone in on the equipment. And so we opened in July. November, we ordered the canning line. It showed up in January, and we started canning April the following year.
Got it.
Or April. So
yeah.
It wasn't quite a full year, but it was one of those things that was delayed just because of cost overruns like this.
It's funny how things work out. Like you say, in hindsight, it's okay that it worked out that way. But it's also smart of you to just be able to, you know what, we're just going to shift gears. In other words, we already had that money somewhere. We're just going to shift what we had it allocated for, and that's some good planning on your part to be able. And just let's use this as a teaching moment for everyone starting a business, because I fail at this all the time. It's nice to be able to roll with the punches and have a backup plan, because
yes.
I'm telling you, invariably, I have never interviewed or talked to an entrepreneur ever who said, "Oh yeah, no, it went exactly how we
for sure.
thought it was.
Everything
go.
Was perfect." Yeah,
right, Mike. Like that doesn't happen.
it doesn't happen. I mean, there was things. The other thing that the village made us put in, we have a $75,000 explosion-proof grain handling room.
You got to be kidding! They were worried about your mill or what?
I explained to them that we just crack the grain. We don't actually mill it. That, flour wouldn't make for very good beer.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, the dust is going to accumulate over time. Well, I had the fire marshal out here this year. And uh-huh. I'm like, okay, so we've done, 50, 60, I know it's got to be a lot more than that. We're probably doing about 40 tons a year in grain.
Okay.
Our dust collection system has collected a leaf at this point.
Wow.
And so I'm like, so we have all this, and we don't use it.
And you don't use it. Wait till
it's the one room also that you can kill yourself in.
Hell yeah! I mean, like, just
you laugh about it. I got in there one day, and fortunately, I had my cell phone. But we had the ventilation system on, and it is so airtight in that room that you cannot. I'm a big guy. I'm 240 pounds.
Okay.
I could not push the doors open.
Because of the vacuum being created.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the rooms where, if anything happened to the air intake,
yeah.
it would actually drop the atmosphere and you'd get the bends.
Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord.
So and the turnoff for the system, because it's an explosion-proof room, has got to be on the outside of the room. So if the doors are shut and you're in there and you're stuck and something happens, you can't turn it off.
Oh.
So I took the strips off the bottom of the door, and at least that makes it so I can now get the doors open.
Sure, you need some way to move air the opposite direction.
Yeah, I didn't fully understand. I just thought you meant it was like soundproof, so you go in and wrap your lips around a revolver or something if you wanted to. But I didn't really fully understand that.
I didn't
could
go
literally
that far.
Kill you.
I was thinking it would suck all the oxygen out of the room. Yeah. But now I understand. You know what, Mike? Wait till you want to put in a centrifuge. If they're worried about that, you're going to have to put that in like 20 foot below the earth in a bunker.
Right. I can imagine. Imagine the city council, like, well, if it goes too fast, it's going to reverse time.
Yeah.
It's going to spin the earth the other way.
There is a place that's not too far from here. The atom splitter.
Oh,
30 miles from here.
Is it really? Oh,
yeah.
Fine. We can put in a thing that will destroy the universe.
That's right. We can put in a thing that literally can create black holes.
But I can't have a goddamn grain mill?
Exactly.
I'm like so frustrated for you, Mike.
Now, Mike, do you think it's because you're like the first, and so the city is sort of learning as you go along? So 10 years down the road when the third brewery comes in,
sure,
it's going to be good for them? Or are they just sort of looking for money because it's a small town?
Well, this is one of those things where it's a small town. They outsource all this stuff to another company.
Yeah.
The other company didn't know anything. They kept telling me that I needed to have grease traps, too. And I'm like, but we don't have food. We're not a brew pub.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, you have grain, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, that creates fat. And I'm like, it better not.
Yeah.
And so we went through this whole process, and I actually had to go down and talk to the guys in Springfield, Illinois, which is probably a good three-hour drive from here. I had to go down and talk to those guys to basically say, listen, we don't need grease traps.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had people come up here and actually explain to them, you know, the inspectors that, no, Mike doesn't need a grease trap. He's making beer.
So I have not only talked to other brewers and interviewed restaurateurs about all this kind of stuff, I've had it happen myself. And I do want to just put a fine point on this, that JP, it's, in my experience, it's actually never a municipality or anybody looking for more money or looking for more fees.
That's always my first go-to.
The fees for them are minuscule. It's nothing. Yeah. Whoever you have to pay to put in the grease trap, now that person makes money. Okay. So if the town were, like, mobbed up, maybe that would happen because the, you know, the mob owns the person putting the grease.
Sure.
So in my experience, it's actually exactly what Mike just described. Mm-hmm. And it's you actually alluded to it. It's often somebody who's never dealt with this type of business before.
Yeah.
Or an outsourced person. Or I've even had it where it's like the normal inspector is on sabbatical.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
They brought in this like temporary inspector and they're like, yeah, you need grease traps, you need this, you need that. And guys like Mike, and believe it or not, well, not me, I hired people to do it, looked through all of the code and all of the things that you need and discovered clearly the code says I don't need grease traps. There's actually no gray area in it. And I'm sure you this was Mike's, I'm like frustrated for him.
Right.
There is no gray area in this code. You're reading it wrong. But on site, the inspector is the inspector is the inspector.
Right, yeah.
And so you have to be diligent like Mike and go, well, fuck it. I'm going over your head then.
Yeah.
And
I did that, and that turned around and bit me in the ass.
No, no.
Because at the end, because I made him look bad in front of his peers.
Yeah.
So we were 1 week away from opening. We already had our grand opening scheduled. We were to have our final inspection. We already, you know, all the little things that we were supposed to do, we buttoned up. This guy came in and wrote 3 pages of additional things that we now had to do.
Wow.
Like what? Yeah. Like
anything. It can be anything.
Oh,
I'm sure
fire caulking
of it.
A little spot here, you know, making sure that the maybe a vent cover is screwed in differently than the way it was. I mean, the list just went on and on.
God.
We had a... So part of our beer garden has a ADA ramp on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we replaced the wood, we didn't change anything on it. All we did is just replace the boards that were rotten. Oh, you touched it. Now you got to make it ADA compliant to today's standards.
Yeah.
Fortunately, this town has a lot of good people in it. And so a lot of the other businesses wanted to see us open. So they came over here. We spent 3 days basically working around the clock, and these guys, they brought over their saws, their hammers, you know.
Wow.
They got out there, and everybody, I'm like, okay, you're on this, and I became the foreman for a couple of days.
Wow.
And we got it done.
So that's
really cool, Mike. That's great that you have a community that of like-minded business owners that backs you, not only just verbally or you know, patronizing your business, but to come over and physically donate their time to help you open. That's
something.
That's beautiful.
And
it's perfect. I mean, I could not pick all the other locations that we were looking at. I would have never had that.
Sure. Well, I will say that's my experience, too, is that as bad as things can get on one side, they're always kind of made up for on another side, whether that be your community or your customers or whatever it might be. But gosh, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you, but it makes sense. So here you are going, listen, this is what the law says, and I know what the law is, and you had to go over his head. And so he came back and was like, oh, okay, so you want to deal with the letter of the law? That's what we're going to do. And I've experienced that too. You know, a health code person can come in, and there is a letter of the law that says, like, that screw is supposed to be coated in this. Right? Stuff that they're normally not going to overlook because everyone knows it's a bullshit law.
Right.
But if you have pissed them off, like you had to do because you were not going to put in grease traps, well, okay. Then we're going to, all right, then I'm going to get out my textbook and we're going to go through your entire room with my textbook.
And really,
what a shame.
And what happened was essentially every 80s. You know, feel good comedy movie ever made, where the town rallies to support the person. And the best part is, he has no grease traps. So it worked out.
You got the last word.
I got the last word, guys.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, a year later after opening this place, I became the president of the downtown.
Love it.
Oh, nice.
worked very hard with the mayor and that organization that kind of screwed us. Mm. They no longer do business in this town.
I love this story.
Yes.
I love this story.
See? You win. You yeah. had the last laugh, not that guy.
You just got to be able to persist long enough.
Yeah. Sure. You know, the holidays are just here upon us. It's a good feel-good story, JP. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right. Oh, fuck you. You're going to fuck me? Well, fuck you back.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, that's not the good... That's not a holiday feel-good story,
oh.
JP.
Well,
I
sure
mean,
it is.
You have to say it in a different way.
Oh, well, okay. You didn't get me what was okay, on my sorry. List, then I'm not going to get you what's on your list.
Go ahead, Mike.
How's the 42K?
I know. That's what I was getting us to. Don't worry. That's our feel-good story, is the 42K.
Right.
You're 10.5% 42K we've been drinking.
It's 42%.
All right. So tell us about the beer that was named after the $42,000 you had to spend on a water line.
So this is something that I created way back in the day. This is also one that's, you know, I've made this one now for over 15 years. And originally I was trying to create something like Delirium Tremens, and it was a beer that I really liked. I've kind of taken a little bit of a different twist on it. We use two different yeast strains in it. And so I'm going to have you guys actually explain what you're tasting and what you guys think.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought up Delirium Tremens.
Yeah.
Because I think it is a, and for me in a good way, like a more subtle version of Delirium Tremens. It's got the Belgian candy sugar. It's got that not just the malt sugar sweetness, but a really light sweetness to it.
Yeah. It's almost like a date sugar, or there's a darker sugar. It's probably the candy sugar that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But there's a... It's like almost like a lemony, peppery thing, like a brightness, I guess, that I wouldn't expect in a beer like this.
Yeah.
And I wonder
so
what
this
it is.
Something, like I said, we use two different yeast strains in it. Each batch is slightly, you know, this is the nice thing about being a craft brewer, is we can actually get away with things where, you know, we try to be as consistent as possible, but beers like this, these are our one-offs where it can be a little inconsistent from batch to batch, and it all depends on which yeast strain was more alive when we threw it in. And so people really love this beer. The funniest thing is, though, you have girls that come in here, they sit at the bar, we sell it in 12-ounce goblets, and they'll have one, they'll have two, they love the beer. They go to order their third, and like, nah, maybe, you know, you should maybe order something else. Like,
right.
No, we want a third. They go to stand up, they go to the bathroom, and they go straight down.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have a hot alcohol flavor to it.
No.
It, because of the nice malt complexity. It's a really malt-driven Belgian strong, as opposed to, like, yeast-driven.
Yes.
And by the way, it's not just the getting up and falling over. Like, I'm sure you can hear the bar getting louder.
Oh,
as it,
sure.
Just like you and I did, JP. You can hear the bar getting louder as they sip the beer. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
it's one of those things. And, you know, like, we do sell our beer in steins. This is one of the ones that does not come in a stein.
Smart.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, very smart. Do you do it in a pint?
Just the 12-ounce pours.
Okay, a little 12-ounce, yeah.
Yeah, we don't, anything that's over 9% here, we try to limit it, how much people drink.
Yeah.
You know, most of our beers are between 4.5% to 6%. The couple beers that we have that are over that, we want to really limit that to how much they consume so that they can enjoy themselves, you know, the next day and come back for another beer.
Yeah, no, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, who wants to clean up, throw up in the bathroom? And, you know.
That's right. Well, it's also, at that point, I think it's just respecting your customers, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because they're not used to it.
Yeah.
You know, most people, I think, are in the 5 to 7 alcohol range, especially if you go to a place that doesn't drink or doesn't brew a whole lot of these high alcohol beers. They're not accustomed to it.
Yeah. That's right.
And it tastes good. It's easy to drink.
So with you mentioned that this one can kind of vary from batch to batch, and you put two different yeast strains in it. Does it vary because the strains, you know, compete against each other in a different way each time?
They do. And like I said, whichever one has more strength,
I see,
will actually be the dominating factor.
Okay. So that might be like...
Even though... And this is one of those ones... we always get fresh yeast for this because you can't use the yeast after a 10.5% beer.
Okay. So, that might answer my question. I was going to ask, does it matter which beer the yeast just came out of before it goes into this one? But you're using a fresh pitch of both yeasts every time.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, that'd be interesting. I'd like to taste it. If I was in your neighborhood, I'd go taste it back-to-back all the time. I'd want to know which one was different. But I would only have one because I know what I'm doing.
That's right.
Most of the time. If you saw me have more than one, it's because I'm looking for it. It's that kind of night. So that is a nice beer. And we've got one more to try from you. Now, you were saying that this one is kind of a special beer that you made.
So it's a special beer. It is, you know, we're here in Chicago, or just north of Chicago, and you always have Goose Island and Bourbon County Stout, and because of the Bourbon County Stout, there's a Festival of Barrel Aged Beers. There's lots of reasons why to make these big, you know, dominating Russian Imperial Stouts that are aged in bourbon barrels. And so this is our version of it. We actually had three variants this year. I sent you guys the original, but we also have a raspberry version and a Mexican chocolate version.
Oh, nice. Okay. And this one, you say you barrel-aged as well, right?
Yes, it's been aged. So one of the things, years ago, as a volunteer, I went to the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard all these guys complaining about the fact that they couldn't get barrels. And this was something I'm like, okay, this has got to be a problem I can solve. And what I did was I had a buddy who, a young guy, sold his company, retired, living down in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go over to Jamaica and talk to these guys and see if we can get some, you know, get some barrels for the brewers up here? Well, that started another company between the two of us, and it's a cask iron trading company.
Nice.
And so we... these days, we ship, I think this year, somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 barrels.
Wow.
Straight from distilleries into the hands of brewers.
That's cool.
Yeah, if you ever need me to go to Jamaica and just, like, look at them for you real quick.
Yeah, same.
You know.
I love Jamaica. That was fun.
Well, you know, where the distilleries are, it's not the best part of town.
No.
And so you do have to have a armed security guard go with you.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I play a lot of Call of Duty, so I naturally am a tactical person.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So I'm fine. I would be okay.
I like my, he's like, are you okay?
I'm just saying. Yeah. I think tactically.
Just come and pack him.
Yeah. Wait, so is this beer then that you gave us aged in rum barrels?
It is not rum barrels. These are bourbon barrels. These are from Heaven Hill.
Got it.
And the nice thing is, you know, being co-owner of this company, we order the barrels on Monday. They empty them on Tuesday. We get them on Wednesday.
Wow.
We fill them on Thursday.
That's great.
They're about as fresh as you can get.
This is a really nice beer. This is a nice Russian Imperial Stout, and it's got a really rounded finish. So it has all the roast and chocolate that you like and none of the kind of sharp, acrid points that you can get. It's the roast, I actually hesitate to use the word roast because it's not like char or anything like that. It's more more on the chocolate side without being sweet. Like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've done a good job. How long was it in the barrel?
10 months this year.
Okay. And so I'm just looking at your website. This is the Hallows is the base beer, right?
Yes.
Which is a 9.2%. Do you think you gained some ABV?
Well, we so here's the problem. I'm going to get beat up on this afterwards. We had the beer listed as 9.9 because we didn't start doing different years. And so next year, the beer that we're making right now for next year is actually going to be the 2020 version. So each year we'll have a different version on Untappd.
Okay.
Because we didn't do that, it did come in at 11.3, but we still have it listed as 9.9.
So people gave you shit for that?
I'll give shit after this, though. Just because people are going to say, well, yeah, it's not accurate. Unfortunately, yeah, we don't can it, so it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Oh, the beer nerds. Come on.
I need everything to be accurate. Yeah, it is very good, and it is what you're saying. There's not a whole lot of char. There's not a whole lot of that, even that smoke that sometimes these sort of bigger Russian Imperial Stouts can get. It's very even-keeled, but still that mouthfeel is still there. That body is still there,
right,
to carry everything through, and everything sort of mellows at the same time. It's one of those beers that's sort of like the same all the way through, which I think in these big chewy kind of beers is a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean, without the harsh point.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's closer to like a milk chocolate than a dark chocolate. Or even like you said, Mike, I bet you that your Mexican chocolate is completely different than this one.
I would love to try the Mexican
chocolate. This is more like a soft milk chocolate, you know.
Yeah, the Mexican chocolate is the same thing that you're drinking right now, except for it has Saigon cinnamon and ancho chilies added to it.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound good.
That sounds really good.
And then also in a barrel for a few months?
Oh yeah. So all the beer for this this version this year was in there for 10 months.
Got it.
But what we did, so we've been playing around and trying different things over the past couple of years. So initially, we would always put, and we use Tahitian vanilla beans and cacao nibs in there, and so that's what's giving you that chocolate flavor,
okay,
and the vanilla flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're picking up the bourbon and the oak tannins. The raspberry version, we add fresh raspberries, and then like I said, the Saigon cinnamon and ancho chilies for the Mexican chocolate. But what we used to do is we would add all these adjuncts in at the beginning of the barrel aging process. And, you know, you'd pick up some really nice flavors, but you can also get some off flavors throughout the year. So what we've done now is, you know, in the last 4 to 6 weeks is when we add everything in there to kind of give it a punch at the end so that you're getting those fresh flavors coming out.
Do you then just have to add more of it because it's a shorter contact time or same amount?
Not really.
Okay.
This year we added the same amount. The only thing we did a little bit different is we I was out doing a road trip, and I picked up some of the, that bourbon company out in Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So I got some of their double rye, and what I did was we soaked the vanilla beans in that for about 3 days before putting them in the barrels.
That's smart. Yeah,
it really softened it up, and that's you know, all that caviar that's in the bean just flows right into the beer.
Sure. And then maybe this is a dumb question, but you soak them in this the spirit. Do you don't strain them and put them in? You dump the whole solution then in the barrel, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Because you want to get a little bit of that spirit in there too. So
yeah.
Okay. Plus, you've kind of made a tincture in between. Like everything you've softened is like in that tincture, so to speak.
Right. You don't want to lose any of that.
You
want to make sure all that flavor gets in there.
Got it.
And then we did the same thing with the cacao nibs.
Okay.
Now, do you guys pronounce it cacao or cacao?
You know,
I say cacao if I'm feeling fresh, but also cocoa is fine too. But I generally default to cacao because
so do I. I default to cacao. It's a good. I'll tell you the problem with doing the show is that all of you brewers and pronounce everything different, and we can never figure out what's right. But I think I default to cacao too.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, that's our default.
Because it's technically not cocoa, because cocoa is the refined.
Right.
The nibs or the pod is the cacao. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
think just nibs is fine.
I think that sometimes when we don't know how to do it, we resort to that.
Yeah,
too.
And then you're that way you're safe, because it's not nibs. You know?
Yeah, you know it's nibs.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
I think everyone can agree on nibs.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, we got nibs.
Now after this, I'm going to make a deserted effort to just say knives.
Yeah.
People go, what are you talking about? Oh, you don't know?
Well, this is a really great beer. I mean, thank you for sending us a one-off version like this. That's very nice of you.
You're very welcome.
So
glad you guys are enjoying everything.
Yeah, all of it's very good, and this is just the perfect one to finish with. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned a couple things that you have coming up at your place before we have to go. I know you got a couple of beer releases. Your Holiday Pills is going to be released on the 10th of December.
Oh.
What is that? Describe that beer to me.
Brewed with holly.
So instead of doing a American Pils, we decided, be more traditional. And, I've tried the German Pils, but I really like the Czech Pilsners.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually created a Czech Pils. Our house version is called 360 Pils because they're traditionally named after the location of where they're made. And our address is 360 Historical Lane.
There we go.
So we take our house pills. We infuse it with blood oranges and cranberries, and that's our holiday pills.
Beautiful.
Last year we made 3 half barrel kegs, and it was gone in a week.
Wow!
I think depending on that sort of malt character on that pills, that could be almost like cranberry orange bread.
Yeah,
which I love.
Okay,
that sounds great.
It's a good dessert beer,
yeah.
Holiday beer. And I'll get to your.
I always love cranberry orange muffins. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah, wow.
I know you got events too, but I'm going to stick to the beers for a second. January, Sticky Todd is coming out. What's that beer?
So Sticky Todd is the 42K that you guys have been drinking.
Yeah,
that has been aged in bourbon barrels that had maple syrup aged in them for a year.
Nice.
Huh.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, we released that last year for the first time. And we had about 200 gallons of it, and it was all gone in a month. And we only sold it in the tap room. We saved 1/6 for our 2-year anniversary, and it was gone in 4 hours.
Okay. And you guys were hammered.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what is it? Okay, I hear what you're saying, that it's a bourbon barrel that had maple syrup aged in it.
Yeah.
Is that a thing, or you guys took the bourbon barrel and put maple syrup in it?
No, so what we do is we actually get the barrels. So these are bourbon barrels that a maple syrup company, they actually age their maple syrup in it for 1 year.
I see.
And then as soon as they get a fresh empty, they send the barrels to us.
Interesting. I want to taste the maple syrup, too, that comes out of it.
I've had...
Maple syrup is fantastic. And these guys have a deal with Walmart. And they've been selling it in Walmarts. It's a big company out there. I just can't say their name because...
That's sure. Fine. I'll be sleeping in a lot of Walmart parking lots in the coming year. So I will
get drunk off bourbon maple syrup.
I'm going to go find me some bourbon maple syrup.
I've had some. Actually, I have some. It's intense.
Okay.
The flavor is very intense. It's almost too much.
I see.
Because of the sweetness and the bourbon, you get the whole thing going on. But depending on how you make your pancakes or your waffles or whatever, it can go really well. So I would love to taste a beer that has been in there before. That'd be cool.
Okay. Yeah, I want to try it.
Yeah.
And then let's do this to make sure, because it's coming up like in days, on December 6th. So by the time you podcasters are listening to this, you're just going to have a couple days to get there. You guys are doing your Pints for a Purpose event. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so Pints for a Purpose, it's a St. Nicholas Day celebration, and it starts at about 4 o'clock this Friday. And what we're doing is there's an organization in town called Let It Be Us, and they are the go-between for DCFS and foster parents. So a lot of times, this is the holiday season. We try to do a lot of charity events in town, and this is one that the breweries decided to take on, where we're doing a fundraiser for Let It Be Us. And like I said, the kids come in, they're sleeping on the floors at DCFS, or, they come in, they don't have anything but the clothes on their backs. This organization really helps smooth the transition of the kids going into the program and then being transitioned over to a foster family.
So these are kids that have been taken from their folks for various legal reasons and in the government system, but the Let It Be program helps transition them into that system and then become foster children.
Yes, they okay. really smooth the transition so that the kids, it's a traumatic experience for them.
Yeah.
And this is one way to, really help them out and help the kids out and help the organization out. the organization, they're in just the next town over. They've been around for a few years, and they're doing really good works. And so a lot of the politicians and us have talked about it, and this is something that we also got the Long Grove Lions Club. They're kind of the, you know, they're kind of our union labor when it comes to doing any type of charity events, and they've gotten behind it as well. And in a week, the Long Grove Lions Club is actually throwing their holiday party here, and they're celebrating that since their inception, they're giving away their $1 million in charity.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Well, you're a community brewery, so I love to hear about these things. I'm really liking this Let It Be Us event that you're doing. And, folks, if you're feeling giving this holiday season, you can go to letitbeus.org and learn all about exactly what we're talking about. And, of course, if you're in the, you know, greater Chicago, Illinois area, you can go out to this event, which, once again, is happening on December 6th, starting at 4 p.m. And it sounds like you guys are kind of partying until 10 p.m. You got a band coming on. You've got prizes that people can bid on. There's a raffle. Obviously, there's beer and appetizers and you name it. And it sounds like a great event and a great way to support a local organization there. So, good job, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This has been great.
Hey, just because I'm always curious, if you get a spare moment after that event, I'd love to know how it went and how much you were able to raise. And I'm just always curious about these things. I think it's a nice thing you do. So,
yeah, I'll shoot something over to Beverly afterwards.
Perfect. All right, folks, learn more about the beer, BuffaloCreekBrewing.com. Mike, thank you so much for spending all this time with us. I know it's kind of late there now, and I appreciate you sending beer and talking with us about it. It's been a lot of fun.
You guys have a happy, we just had Thanksgiving, so have a happy holiday season, and if there's any more of that beer left, enjoy it.
I will. I'm not giving any else away.
That's right. Wait a minute.
Thanks so much, Mike. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
There you go. That's Mike Marr. He is the owner and brewmaster at Buffalo Creek Brewing Company out of Long Grove, Illinois, which does sound like a damn cool town, don't you think?
It really does. I was looking at photos.
Yeah, to go check it out.
Yeah, and it looks like I always have this dream of living in the idyllic small town that does everything for Christmas. You know, the main street's all done up, and
right.
Maybe you get snow,
oh.
But it's like the small town kind of feel.
And then you move to Oakley.
That would be my dream, yeah. And then I move to Oakley.
You got the small town without all the small town feel.
Yeah, now I realize I'm 6 minutes away from the main street, and I don't want to drive.
Yeah,
it's always like, well, we got to park. But anyway, it definitely seems like that sort of that sort of vibe to it, where it's very community minded and they embrace the holidays, and that makes me happy.
So and I agree with all of that, and I want to add a couple of things about his labels, just because also it sounds like he's gotten some flack for some of them.
Yeah.
Well, he did. The image did finally come through that he sent me of the truck that broke down their historic bridge.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool image. Just do a Google search for Too Tall IPA. I'm sure you're going to find it. But he did put, like he said, like a 1930s. My monitor won't move.
Yeah,
it's like a 19. By the looks of the image, I was picturing like a truck that ran into the front of it and sort of got stuck and stopped.
Yeah.
By the looks of the image of his label, it drove all the way through the bridge before realizing that it was breaking the bridge.
Yeah. So I looked at, I Googled the Too Tall Bridge, Long Grove.
Okay. What did you find?
The picture of the bridge.
So
the sides are gone of this bridge.
And he drove all the way through the bridge. How do you not just hit the front and be like, oh shit, hit the brakes?
He did a number on this stupid thing, man. But they reopened the bridge like later on. I think like it happened in like June. They reopened it in September, but without the sides or the roof. Because that's how much damage this kid did. I mean, that's crazy.
Wow.
It's gone.
So I think that label is cool, and if you can find it, look it up, Too Tall IPA. I like that they did that. And then what I didn't get a chance to bring up with him, because we moved on to the next beer, back to the 42K,
yeah,
for, where the water municipality charging $42,000. I didn't look at it at first, but as we were moving on to the next beer, I grabbed the can to take a look at the logo.
Okay.
It's like a fat pig in a suit. It's like a real fat pig like in that, a suit.
Like that warrant.
Sitting in front of like
cover?
A government-looking building. Like, yeah. Obviously, like a, it's got pillars. Holding a briefcase that's overflowing cash.
Damn, dude.
And I'm kind of... So it wasn't just that he did this, like, subtle homage to 42K.
Yeah.
He put a fat pig bureaucracy on the label.
I love that.
That's, I know.
Great. Yeah.
I, like I said, we had already moved on to the other beer, but I was like, I can't leave this show without talking about how cool that label is.
That is great.
Yeah. I just say, and as you turn it, the pig gets fatter and
the
bigger.
The pig's bigger. Yeah. He's a big dude.
So,
damn.
I like his, like, not so subtle subtlety. Good job, Mike.
Oh, and on in the pigs, the pig, you know, the pig.
The pig.
The pig, American pig, government pig. On the right hand, he has a ball valve. He's turning on the water. He's controlling the water.
Oh, see, all of the subtlety. Yeah. I didn't even get, I should have talked to him about his artist.
Yeah.
Let's get it back. He has it. So, in other words, in his right hand, he's got the ball valve turning on the water, which I didn't catch.
Yeah.
In his left hand is the briefcase overflowing money.
Yeah.
That's
pretty funny.
Hilarious.
And that is not even just a nose thumbing. Or,
that is smart.
That's a middle finger.
Smart. That's a car bombing, dude. Like, that is a big neon sign that says, lick my ball.
I wish I had seen it before we had moved on, because I want to know if there was any reaction from,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, well, especially, it sounds like he's working very closely now with that
city,
agency.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so what I like about the story is, you know, he did this and kind of, like, vented and got his, like,
sure.
Sort of retribution or whatever. And then infiltrated the local government to remove... The agency that they
well, that
hired.
Wasn't the water one.
That, oh, wasn't the
that
water
was
one.
His. That was his
the
health inspector.
Grease trap one. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But right.
Same principle.
Same principle.
He's
right.
Like, I'm not just going to complain about it. I'm now going to get in and do something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, I think we need more of that sort of like civic mindedness of, you know, if you have a problem, then figure out how to change it.
Yeah.
Rather than just making the label is funny enough, but then. He's doing something about it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I think he has like a, I'm going to do something about it with a healthy dose of like, fuck you, this is my town. I'm going to figure this out right now, you know.
Yeah, because that is ridiculous.
He's the water czar now.
Yeah, he should be. No water for you.
Yeah, I want to follow up in 5 years like with another like local brewery who opened up, and they'll be like, man, Mike won't give us the water.
We haven't paid him his stipend.
I'll have to like send him the link to him. I'll be like, Mike, remember when you were a good guy. Don't let power go to your head. No,
right.
I don't predict that of him at all. I had to bring up that label because it's super cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got a little beer news.
Some
thought-provoking.
Oh, wow.
at our level is what? I don't know. Look at this label. Look, it has a bureaucracy, and he's turning on the water. It's so thought-provoking.
What could it mean?
Like, what is our... Oh, my God. It's just so clever. It's like, get it? Like, the government's bad, and he's good.
I don't give a yuck.
I don't even know what accent that is.
That's hillbilly.
Kentucky. Is it?
Sure,
great.
Man,
now I can't go to Kentucky on my trip, Beam. This is really thought-provoking. All right, hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
But I can't tell you yet. And when I do love, This is Matt Reynoldson from Firestone Walker Brewing Company, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Man, if you haven't tried the Grenadier from Firestone Walker Brewing Company and the Brewing Network, you are missing out.
That's right.
It's probably the end of that seasonal run that they did. I can still find it at my store, and I wish I could just buy it by the 12-pack itself. Yeah. Not that the rest of the 12-pack isn't good. Don't get me wrong, Firestone, forgive me. It's all wonderful. Believe me, I drink every single beer in that 12-pack when I buy it. Not always all in one night.
Not at the same time.
Right? Not always.
Well, not
sometimes. But the Grenadier, I mean, it's goddamn good beer.
It's good stuff.
If it weren't for this fucking lawsuit, it'd just be called the Hop Grenade beer or whatever. But whatever. Anyway, go find that on the shelves right now. It's by Firestone Walker Brewing Company. It's their most recent seasonal 12-pack. It's called the Lion's Share.
That's right.
And the special secret beer is our beer that we brewed with them. I haven't heard a person come up to me and say that wasn't wonderful. So, and I agree. It came out wonderful. You didn't like it?
No,
you're not,
I didn't.
You're not giving it any praise.
No, it was good.
You had it.
I had. Well, we tried it that one time here, and that was, 3 months ago, and I had 4 ounces of it. So,
okay. You didn't go buy the 12-pack, though?
No, because I won't drink all the rest of those beers.
Oh. Not that they're not good.
Not that they're not good, but I feel like I don't have to put that caveat
it's not
on
your
because it's me. I'm
jam.
An asshole.
It's not your
right,
jam.
I would never just drink. I have...
Fair.
Look. I can say this. I have Blood Orange IPA from 21st Amendment in my fridge that Terrence brought over 8 months ago.
Oh,
I just don't drink IPAs.
IPAs,
it's a good
yeah.
beer.
Yeah,
I just don't drink them. So
sure.
They're just going to sit, and I'll get yelled at.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would like give you the Grenadiers and keep the others, but I like the Grenadiers too much. They're so good.
right.
I hesitated. I saved one for my dad. Like my dad came out for Thanksgiving, and I had bought the 12-pack, and I bought the 12-pack like a week before. So I drank everything in there, and I had to hide a Grenadier in the back of my fridge behind everything because I wanted him to have the beer when he got here.
Yeah, man.
You know,
what did he think of it? Because he's sort of beer guy, right?
What the fuck does he know?
There's
no shit.
I mean,
he's not a beer guy.
He's not a beer.
He'll have a beer, but I order it for. He just says, "Order me a beer."
Okay.
He's a beer guy insofar as
it's like an airport.
He won't drink like a Bud Light. He's not into like Bud Light. It's not like that.
Okay.
But he doesn't know anything about it. He's more just proud of me and likes beer because of that.
Yeah.
So he'll just be like, "Just order me a beer," you know, and he'll. Always likes to remember when he was walking through Fenway Park and saw somebody wearing our Hop Grenade on their shirt. Like,
right.
That's why he likes beer.
Okay.
But he doesn't get drunk.
Sure.
Like, he's not a drinker.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's boring. You know? It's funny. He's funny, though, because we'll hang out with just friends and everybody, too, and we're all just getting drunk around him. He likes to go to our events and stuff. And
yeah.
He loves hanging out, even though he's not, you know, imbibing all that much.
Yeah.
And he's friendly as fuck, like way friendlier. Have I told you this? He's way friendlier than I am. He comes out to our Oktoberfest event in the park here. It's a 2-day event.
Yeah.
And it's Friday and Saturday. And Saturday ends a little early, you know, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I don't know what fucking time. We end up here at the Hop Grenade. And we're hanging out here for a couple hours. And my dad's kind of off. You know, I'm doing my thing. You know, he doesn't need to be babysat.
Yeah.
And by the end, he comes up and he starts telling me stories. He's like, yeah, you know, and he's naming people by name. He's like, yeah, you know, Jimmy. And I'm like, I don't Jimmy. He's like, yeah, Jimmy, you know, Sally's boyfriend. He's right over there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you? And he goes through like 10 names. And by the way, these are all people that I know.
Yeah.
Or I've seen.
Sure.
I've probably hung out with. I don't know who they are.
No.
And my dad at the end is like, yeah, no, you know Jimmy, Sally's girlfriend.
Don't you know anybody?
Yeah, like, God, what, are you going to tell me you don't know George, who's like here every night?
Right.
My dad's super social, but not like a, not a beer guy, per
okay.
se.
Okay, I gotcha. I'm anyway, more impressed, really, that he remembered people's names, because that's, one thing I cannot do. I remember your face, and then and then it leads to that awkward moment where I think I recognize you, and so I'm like side glancing at you, and then you're staring at me, and I'm like, I don't know what to do now. I think I'm going to get killed, or I'm going to kill this. I don't know what's going to happen. Someone's going to die.
No, he remembers that. So he remembers their names. If you tell him about their family, like he'll remember that. Like he'll be here in a year, and he'll walk up to George and be like, George, probably 21. I don't fucking know. And I'll be like, how's your mom? He'll be like, how's your mom? Is that thing gone or what? Like, he'll, that's, my dad has that thing.
Damn. He'll probably be staying with George.
He's
George, like, I'm going to come out. We're going to hang out.
Yeah. I'm like, Dad, you're not staying with me? He's like, oh, I'm fucking with George. You're a bore, man. Yeah. Me and George are hitting the town.
Yeah, he has a surround sound theater.
And if he doesn't know their names, he'll be like, yeah, no, you know the one with the super hot girlfriend. Like, that's his other thing. That's
he's letting you key in on it.
His other go-to. Yeah. He'll be like, you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Dad, I don't know who you're talking about. You know, like, he'll try to not say it. Dad, I don't know who you're talking about. The one with the super hot girlfriend. I'll be like, okay, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
I do know who you're talking about.
Now you're my wheelhouse, Dad. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks again to Buffalo Creek Brewing for being on the program. We got a couple of things left to do.
We do. We have Twitter game to do. You want to do a little bit of beer news?
Yeah.
Or did I make that up? Because I may have just made that
up. No, I do, have beer news. But I did have to mention Duke Cannon again.
Yeah, you do.
I'm back on the Duke Cannon tip.
Really?
I'm back on the Duke Cannon.
John.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
And I'll tell you why.
All right.
I'm not going to lie about it. It's because they sent me, like, the coolest thing ever.
What is it?
And then I was like, I got, like, all excited about it again. So, because of that, this segment is sponsored by Duke Cannon Country, where eggnog is served spiked and without the eggnog.
Okay.
That's how we roll.
I got it.
So, the thing is, they sent me this limited edition U.S. military soap set.
Okay.
Sounds weird.
It sounds weird.
What is a limited edition military...
Sponsored by SEAL Team 6.
Right, it's like kind of a... But I get this thing, and when I opened the box, I didn't really know what I was getting.
Yeah.
Because I opened the box, and there is basically an authentic military field box. It's an ammunition case.
Oh, yeah, it's an ammo... I saw it's that a, coming in. I was like, why do you have an ammo box?
It's a 30 caliber... ammunition box.
Nice.
With it's got a watertight seal on it.
Okay.
Like, I have some of these, and none of mine have a watertight seal or anything, but I noticed that this one does. Yeah. So I get this box in the mail.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, great. Some disgruntled listener sent me...
You a bomb.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm like, even in the cardboard, I'm like shaking it, and it...
Oh, yeah. No, well, if it's not vibrating or ticking, you're fine.
And by the way, I'm already still using the big ass bars of soap from Duke Cannon. Like,
oh, really?
Remember me talking about the first one?
Yeah.
I don't know how long ago that was. I'm only halfway through my second big ass bar of soap.
Okay.
Because it's so big,
right,
that it lasts a long time.
Okay.
I've got another month or more in my big ass bar of soap.
I picked up one of the bars of soap and was like, this thing's huge, and he's like, right.
I was like, look at the box.
Look,
it's
the
called
name,
a big ass bar of soap.
So they don't lie in their marketing. They,
so they're very like deliberate
right.
in their marketing. Anyhow, I get this package.
Okay.
So this is the limited edition U.S. military soap set, and it is an authentic, like, mm-hmm. Can you verify?
It's verified 100%.
Ammo case.
Damn, you couldn't even lift it up.
That comes with 5 10-ounce bars of big ass soap.
Wow.
An authentic military field box.
Okay.
And a free screwdriver.
What the fuck?
Because it's a manly ass company, man. I don't even know what. I open it up and I'm like, I kind of need the screwdriver right now.
There's one thing
that you can
never have too many of, and it's
yeah.
fucking screwdrivers. Honestly, I misplace my shit all the time.
So in
100% true.
Yeah, right.
In this box, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 big ass.
All right, let me see one of these. Wow.
So this one, and in fact, even though this one's my favorite scent.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it more. So this one is yours to keep if you like. If you like. Whatever you like.
Thank you. You're not going to get drunk and give it to Aaron instead?
Well, if you take it tonight, then no.
I'll take it right now.
I'm excited. This one is their big-ass American bourbon soap with Buffalo Trace.
Thank you very much. Do I smell like a peppermint?
There's a minty one in here.
I can smell that from here. And
do you want that one too?
We're like 3 feet away.
That one is. This one smells like productivity.
I can smell the peppermint on the other side of this box. I can smell.
Yeah, that's that. Smell that one.
The peppermint one's cool. It's more like mint.
Smell that side.
Like spearmint.
Oh yeah,
That's how fragrant these things.
Well, they're
are.
Also. They're what is huge. This? What is this? Like 5 inches by 2 inches or
Hold
something?
Hold on, let me measure.
Anyway.
It's about five. Yeah, you're honestly right. Give me that bourbon.
So, here, you want the bourbon?
Sure, why not?
Because I'm going to keep the other ones. I really like this stuff. Right. But this is like a year's worth of soap. 6 months, maybe? I don't shower that often.
Well, give me another one. What the fuck are you doing?
All right, we'll figure that out. Afterward.
A portion of proceeds benefit U.S. veterans.
Yeah, so that's anyway, let me just get to the thing. They sent me. No, you're doing fine. Yeah. The limited edition military soap set, which we've been describing, which comes in the military field box, which used to carry 30 cal ammunition, is reusable. Comes with the Stanley screwdriver and five big ass 10-ounce American made soaps.
Ounces, yeah.
It's $49, but if you use coupon code Brewing, you're going to get 15% off, plus you get free shipping anyway. But
$49?
It's $49 for all the soaps and
awesome.
The case and the screwdriver. But even if I think some people are like, well, $49. Bevo actually made a good point because we opened the box together because I was like, I don't know what this is, and I think it's a bomb, and if I'm going to die, you're going with me.
Right.
So we did that together.
Yeah, good, smart.
Because I make good life choices.
Yeah. But put your face right at the opening of this box.
In all seriousness, Bevo is like, that's a rad gift.
Yeah, it is.
Like, imagine opening this. First of all, it's a bit of a surprise, right? Like, don't do the cardboard box. Just do the ammo box that you're going to get. Wrap it. And give that to the dude in your life.
Don't even wrap the box. Don't even wrap the ammo box.
Just leave the thing.
Just leave the ammo box open. Put a bow on. Put a ribbon
around
it.
It's a cool gift because you have like five awesome smelling. Bevo liked all the scents. Bevo thought they smelled manly, which that made me feel better because this is like my sole soap that I'm using now.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, they're all masculine scents.
Yeah, this Buffalo.
I don't do many masculine things, so I feel like if I can masculine soap, I'm good.
Yeah,
and it's actually that's a good price. If you use the code, it's like $42-ish.
It gets down there.
Even if you don't, it's tight.
Even if you don't, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also have a cologne set. You can select any two for $20. It's all natural scent enhancer and not too pronounced. So everything's made in the U.S. and all products are actually tested by active duty military, and then 5% of net profits are donated to causes benefiting veterans and active duty military.
So you know what I like about that is, number one, you said the word duty, and I love the word duty.
Sure.
But also, a lot of these places go 1%. We'll donate 1% of the thing. What the fuck is 1%? 5% is a good amount.
5% of everything they do causes benefiting veterans and active duty military. So,
and these are made in the U.S.
You can go to DukeCannon.com, and it's Duke Cannon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Duke Cannon.
DukeCannon.
Duke Cannon, and use coupon code Brewing. You know, just think of us, Brewing. There's a beer soap in there. By the way.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And you get 50% off. And they're supporting us, and they're supporting active duty military and veterans. And I'm not lying. I haven't, since I got the first sample, I haven't used another soap.
Really?
On my body.
Wow.
Yeah. So go check it out and do all that stuff.
I love it.
Thanks to Duke Cannon. Okay. I did promise some provocative beer news. And by provocative, I just mean thought-provoking. And by thought-provoking, I mean I'm going to encourage you to think about things.
Okay. I love thinking.
There's not a whole lot here, but, you know. So the first one is I read this article. Here I have a question, and it's a question for you, JP. You don't go out. Well, neither of you go out much, but still, you'll have more of an opinion.
I go out sometimes.
But it's also a question for our listeners, so if you want to send into the feedback, it's feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Okay.
So you know I also own a tap room.
Okay.
Two as of now.
All right, I feel like that's pretty thought-provoking, if we want to...
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right. So I read this article that was about the article is saying that there's a spread of these self-serve tap rooms.
Yes.
Where they put the taps on the wall.
I've been to one.
And you basically get a bracelet.
Yep.
You go up, you serve yourself a beer, and they just tally your stuff.
Yep. I went to one. It was odd.
I went to one as well. I personally don't like it. I think it's a strange experience, and
I feel the same way.
I also think, you know, not all the taps were pouring properly, and you know, at a bar, by the way, it's almost impossible to get all your taps pouring properly.
Yeah.
You know, these beer gurus, like even the guy who like put my tap system in Fort Collins would be like, well, if it's not pouring properly, it is the brewery's fault. No. Like, listen, it's just virtually impossible.
It is.
Okay, but a bartender gets to know, like, hey, tap number 7 pours a little funky, so here's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And ends up giving you the proper pour.
Yeah.
Well, at these self-serve ones, like, you don't know what tap number 7 is from fucking tap number 2. And so, you know, there's some spillage. I don't like the... I want a bartender.
I want a bartender as well. I don't want a beer tender, so let's just kill that right now. But I want a bartender. And what I'm wondering about these, because it's, what, RFID? Not RFID, it's the solenoid valve.
It's basically... Right? Oh.
That controls the how much beer comes out. Do you have to calibrate those? And if so, who's calibrating those?
So,
I feel like it's going to slip over time.
Okay, I don't disagree. This is just my personality. No. I tend not to worry about those things because I'm like, you know what? There's a margin of error in everything that we do, and let's just call that a dollar. And that's probably what's going to happen at these things. And who's worried about a buck?
Me.
Scott. Like, our budget is down to a dollar. I don't like... But here's where the question comes in.
Yeah.
I want a bartender to pour my beer, mostly because I want to ask their recommendation. Mm-hmm. I want them to know how it's going to pour so that I end up with a proper pour.
Right.
So on and so forth.
I actually agree with you.
Okay. Okay.
Because my biggest issue with this is, and I hate talking to people, like I will go out of my way to not have human interaction. We're getting to the point where there's almost no human interaction.
Yeah.
And we don't have the ability to have conversations and ask questions and be humans.
Yeah.
So you're bringing me to my next point, but you threw a little curveball at me because I just read and I just want to throw this out there. Who's the singer of the Talking Heads? David Byrne.
Okay.
Just search David Byrne.
Bernie Sanders.
In the news right now. And he is not an opponent. He is not a proponent of this lack of human interaction that we're encountering.
Yes.
And I have been, and he has been his whole life, too. He considers himself an awkward person and an anxious person and, you know, would have rathered maybe be a little more reclusive. But in his later years has found that he thinks that that's contributing to, like, this decline of our society without having enough social interaction, right? That's a bit of a side note. Look up David Byrne if you're a friend, and it's a nice thing that he gives. But, so I'm not a fan of the self-serve, but I have been, and especially recently, because I own a bar now and it's expensive, I've started to become a fan of the order your beer at your table through an iPad or something. So here at the Hop Grenade, we give you an iPad menu, but you can't order from it.
Right.
A server still has to come up to you and take your order and bring your beer and all that. So this, like, middle ground now is the rise of these, like, yes, we still have a bartender, which I like, and yes, we still have some serving staff, but you can just, instead of waiting for the server to come up to you, because, like, maybe we're busy and it's taking a long time.
Sure.
You can kind of just hit the button and press order. And then the beer shows up. What do you think about this hybrid?
Because
you still have staff.
Yeah.
But less staff, obviously. And you don't have to wait, But you also can't. It might take longer for you to ask advice from your server. Anyway, go ahead. You see the point I'm getting at.
Here's what I mean. There's two things that I want to say, and then they both sort of, you know, counter each other, which is not awkward for me at all. Number one, I would be concerned with how long that ticket would come up and wait at the bar after it's poured. So let's say
let me make the caveat.
Okay,
because I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And there are tons of problems that it poses.
Yeah.
Let's assume that it's a near-perfect system.
Okay.
Or at least assume that you're going to get your beer in the exact amount of time that you used to.
So it's not going
to
sit for 5 minutes on the counter or whatever.
Everything else is still going to happen. I think I'm more talking about the social construct of it. So let's just assume you're still going to get the beer like you always got it before.
The social construct about it, I think, is fine. I feel like you're sort of justified in providing less tip, so that's good for me because nobody's really doing anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, as for me going out, I don't really ask people's advice on stuff because I don't know what they're
sure.
if they like a thing or not. I'm pretty well
you
versed.
Just do your thing.
But going out with people who are not as big brained as me and very smart and very articulate and well read and well learned,
like we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's right. I've been to places where servers are using electronic little things, so it's sort of like what you're saying right now, where you get an iPad and you just do it. Versus the way I've seen it is you just tell the server and she goes boop, and then the ticket spits out for the bartender to pour.
So you can still
ask advice. I feel like that system is only good if you can still go to the bartender and if you want that advice or if you want to wait for the server. I feel like there needs to be a balance between you can order now or you can wait for the server. And then if you want to have that what beer should I get conversation, it's still available to you.
Does it bother you? Okay, I hear you on all that.
Okay.
And I'm asking the listeners too, so you can write in the feedback at thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not transitioning to a system. There's no ulterior motive here. I just was thinking.
You're not doing
crowd research? No, nah, just what everybody does. There's no ulterior
right.
motive here.
Because
I do have some opinions, which I'll just keep to myself. Does it bother you that it then, you even mentioned part of it. Oh, I might tip less. It also is going to eliminate jobs. Does that bother you? That technology has caught up in a way that a business can run more efficiently, but at the expense of, and this is an age-old question, I get it.
Sure.
I'm just asking, in the service industry, in the hospitality industry, does it bother you at all that you might eliminate some jobs by adopting this technology?
Well, I don't know. We can talk to Andrew Yang about it. I feel like...
yes, it does.
I feel like it bothers you, Bevo?
It does.
Let's go Bevo first, because. It does. Because you care about people.
But don't get crazy.
Okay.
But yes, I do. I mean, I would think that if I were a server and my job, like the automated self-checkout at the grocery store.
I love it.
I do too, and I use it, but I'm also, Sam refuses to use it.
I never use it.
And he's like, there's humans here that get paid to do this job. Why wouldn't I have them do it?
Oh, yeah. he likes that.
Yeah.
You know,
Sam's a weird guy. I also like have been watching The Terminator a lot, and I just kind of think it's all Skynet, and we're all going to die because of this.
So you're on Elon Musk's side of AI. I got you. So, in California, this is for our listeners who aren't California, but maybe you've had this in your state too. California's labor unions at grocery stores had a clever solution to the automatic kiosks taking people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they couldn't really legally stop the automatic kiosks. It was like, that was a wave that was coming. So what they did, the labor unions were like, well, the problem, though, is with alcohol. Are you really going to be able to ID people properly at these kiosks? So that was like their standing ground point. They said, our unions will strike. Every union at Safeway, these major grocery stores, we're all going to strike if you don't make this alcohol rule.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of a clever compromise. It pisses me off because every time I'm at the grocery store, I'm buying alcohol.
Right.
But guess what?
That's the
reason they made that fucking rule.
Yeah.
Because they knew most of us at the grocery store are going to buy a bottle of wine or a 12-pack or a 6-pack or a vodka. And it in California, at least, it kept a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this middle ground. So if I just have to go buy like bagels and eggs, automatic checkout. On a regular grocery shop, I got to use a person every time because there's beer and wine in that order.
Yeah.
I know this has nothing to do with the Brewing Network. It just, I read this article and I started thinking about like tap rooms doing this thing because I also walked through an airport recently and they were all under construction, but they were nearly done. Mm-hmm. And they were these airport bars where every single table had a mounted iPad. And it was clear that you could do everything you needed to do just by sitting at a table. And I thought in an airport,
well,
this
in an
is
airport,
fantastic.
That's great because how annoying is it to be like, I got to go. Come on.
Absolutely. But where things start in one place and become highly efficient and successful, they quickly move to other places.
Yes. Yes. But I feel like in the service industry like this, we've been dealing with automation since the 50s. Mm. Vending machines, food vending machines. When was the last time you went into a restaurant that had pre-made sandwiches in a vending machine that you could do, right?
I did find a charcuterie vending machine in Paris.
Okay, but that's Paris. And that's you know, a thousand years later. But, you know, for years we've been talking about doing, you know, we've been talking about stories from Vegas where you have the tower at your table and then you could just pour pints off of that.
That hasn't
really caught on.
Sure.
So I think these like pour your own joints, I think they're cool to some people, but they're never going to catch on. And sure, they're going to eliminate a couple of jobs here and there.
Yeah.
A very, very small percentage. But I think when you do go out, you are purposefully supporting your local economy. And I feel like there is a warmth that sort of inherently look for when you go to a restaurant. And when you go to a beer bar, there is an interaction that you expect to have. And I feel like there is, I think you might actually see less people go to these places. For example, like you and me, we don't really like, and maybe I'm speaking for you, but I don't really like the pour your own places. So I went to one, I will never go back because it was like, here's your RFID badge or your bracelet that who knows how many people have touched. Now you have to hold this and you have to do this
part
thing.
Didn't bother me.
And then
you
have to sit and figure out the system.
Yeah.
So when I was waiting in line to do this thing, the guy had to go and show people. So there's like a big learning curve. I don't think a lot of people really like learning curves. They just want to go in and get a pint of beer.
Here's what I think about all of this.
Yeah.
Assuming all of those sort of problems are solved, like the technology catches up.
Yeah.
I think you're right, JP.
Thanks.
I think you're 100% right about all of it.
What did I say?
And
I don't really remember.
Me neither. Okay.
That's kind of in a fog.
I think that this is an area that's like the hospitality industry, the service industry, mm-hmm. is kind of begging for innovation, mostly on the owner side because margins are small.
Sure.
But I just don't see it. But famous last word, I'm like a jinx, by the way. So I'm ruining business. I'm not saying I don't see it ever.
Right.
I think you and I are going to be 60, 70 years old, and we'll probably sit at a table and order from a screen entirely.
Sure.
I think it will happen. I don't think we're ready for it.
No, and I think it won't be industry-wide. Mm-hmm. Like I said, mm-hmm. I think there will be pockets of places that, you know, maybe there will be a place in Concord in 5 years that opens up that does that. But that's it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be widespread. So, yes, it will take jobs, but I don't think it's going to be enough of – it's still going to be a novelty.
Right.
Yeah. I hope. But like Sam, I don't use the fucking self-checkout. Even if I have a pack of bagels and a pack of eggs, I'll stand in line because I want these people to make $25 an hour putting this shit in a bag that I paid 10 cents for.
Yeah. And I'm not outside of that camp. I'm only in the camp of I'd rather be left alone if I could be.
Yeah.
Until I read that goddamn David Byrne article, and then I'm like, well, he's right. The more I leave myself alone and ask everyone to leave me alone, the more I'm contributing to this leave us all alone society where we're not really a community anymore.
But I feel like when you go out, you're gregarious enough where...
Sometimes.
It's... Sure.
Not at the grocery store. Not at the liquor store.
Stop talking to me at the grocery store. Please stop talking to me.
I've told you my Fort Collins story. I go to Fort Collins for the first time. I go to the grocery store. Mm. And they're like, how you doing? I'm like, good, cool. And they're like, oh, nice. What did you do today?
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I swear to God.
Really?
This is, you know,
I would have walked out.
You
no,
know
I, can't
I
do
exaggerate
that.
About shit.
Yeah.
This is one of the times I do not exaggerate. I go to the grocery store, and it was a common theme. I was like, oh, well, that was a one-off.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay.
I go to the fucking counter.
Yeah, yeah.
How you doing today, sir? I'm fine. You? Good. Good. What did you do today? And I'm instantly like... You don't fucking know me. What do you mean? Who are you? What did I break the... What, you know, I jerked off twice? You have a camera in my house? Like, I don't... And I'm like, oh.
I was parked down in front of the middle school for 4 hours.
But I literally was like, I was like, oh, I don't know. I worked. Oh, cool. What do you do?
What do you do?
And I'm just like, just bag the groceries, for God's sake. Okay, but there is, you know, yeah, there's a philosophy that says we are missing out on life by not interacting more, even with these simple things.
Yeah, ish.
I'll go farther. Now, I'm sorry, everyone who's listening to the show. I don't know why I decided. I looked up these news articles before the show, and I decided we're going to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And I realized they have very little to do with the show, but I couldn't help it.
Right.
I listened to a recent podcast, and I'll make this brief. There's a guy, the guy who invented the ATM machine was on the podcast.
All right.
And he's basically, he was a guy who back in the day, when you needed banking done of any kind, any kind, deposit, withdrawal, you had to go into the bank and stand in fucking line.
Yeah. I remember doing that with my mom. It sucked.
And he's standing in line one day, and he's like, we all stand in line at the bank a lot. I'm pretty sure that these transactions could be done by a machine. Machines were doing other things by then.
Sure. Yes. You know. Right. It's not pre-industrial revolution.
No, he didn't invent the first machine.
Yeah, they were de-seeding cotton. It was fine.
The guy was still alive in this podcast. Old-ass guy, but still alive. And so, anyhow, he invents the ATM. And there's now something like, you know, more than a billion ATMs around the world.
Yeah.
Okay, but the interesting part...
Is he rich?
Is that they... I don't know. They didn't go through that, which I thought was weird. Why wouldn't you ask that question?
100% the first question.
My assumption was yes, except that him and his wife were so sweet that it almost sounded like it didn't matter. But here's here's the thing.
All right.
His wife, of all these... He's been married to his wife for 50 years.
That sucks.
Since he invented the ATM.
Yeah.
She has never, ever, once... used an ATM.
Huh.
And the reason is that she finds that daily interaction, even with strangers standing online or with a teller, are part of the human experience that she doesn't want to go away.
Yeah.
And she finds that whenever... She did describe herself as like a introverted extrovert, and she finds that whenever she becomes more introverted, she finds less like value out of her daily life.
Okay.
So in 50 years since her husband invented the ATM, or however long it's been, or however long you've been married, she's never, ever, ever used an ATM. She goes into the bank every time.
See, and I find her now just to be a very unsupportive spouse. I mean, how are you going to how are you not going to support me
in what I'm doing? The world did.
Fuck that, though.
Here's the thing. The reason she hasn't gone to an ATM is because there's a monetary limit. And clearly, he just made too much money. So... he couldn't make... They couldn't make their deposits through an ATM.
I see.
It's not a bad option.
I'll go ahead and plug the podcast because I found several interesting episodes. I'm a little embarrassed because it sounds like I'm like grasping for straws, but it's called The Happiness Lab, and the podcast is like examining things that make us happy or not, right?
Okay.
I'm like, I should probably listen to this. And anyway, I found this one fucking fascinating.
That is
only not because of him, but because of his wife. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating.
Well, you know,
how are you going to be 80 years old? Your husband invented the ATM, and you don't even have a PIN code.
I mean, I wonder if it's more to the point where she's 80, she just doesn't trust machines, and you know what I mean? Like
that's what she grew up doing. She was interviewed about it, so unless she's lying, and she has a very sweet, like grandmotherly voice, so you don't think she's lying.
Yeah, right. She probably pegs her husband.
Come on, well, that makes her a not nice person.
No, you're right.
Depends on if you like.
Not sweet. It's true.
I don't even know what that means.
He doesn't like it.
Ask Terrence.
I don't want to know.
Ask Sam to show you.
I meant Terrence from Sierra Nevada. You'll remember that.
All right. God bless.
Well, now I don't even want to do my next question because it's another long one and it'll be dumb. Mm. Dumber than that one. So
we can limit it.
We'll save that for next time.
Okay.
No, we'll save it.
All right.
I had read an article that it had no basis in reality from a Travel and Leisure magazine.
Oh.
I don't have the magazine.
Travel and Leisure.
I Google beer news every now and then. I don't like have a... It doesn't come with my AARP subscription, okay?
All right.
And
get one of those.
They gave the top six... beer travel destinations according to them, but their criteria didn't seem to have much to it, And I was going to see if you guys could guess their top six, but it's almost impossible. Like,
yeah, well, I would guess Vermont.
I would guess San Diego.
Well, let's do... All right, well, we're already starting.
We're doing it. Yeah,
I want you guys to give... Let's give three guesses.
Okay.
And then I just see how many you got out of the six. So
this is in the U.S. or
in the U.S. All right. Okay. So JP had Vermont. You'd have to. I'm gonna let you choose again because you. They went by city.
Okay. I don't
Bebo
know. The cities
has San Diego.
Vermont, so I would say Denver. It's got to be on the list.
Mm. Okay.
I would think Portland has got to be on the list. If Portland's not on the list, this whole thing is bunk. Even though Portland's weird. And then I would probably guess Minneapolis.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Those were good.
Bebo had San Diego. What are your other two?
I don't know. Maybe Austin.
Ooh, that's not... Okay. That's not bad.
And for beer... I don't know. I'll also say Denver. Can we
Whoa!
I'm going to cheat off of you.
And that's fine. Had we done this on closed headphones, maybe she would have.
No, I don't like it, but go ahead.
Well, Bevo got two out of her three.
Wow. Damn, okay.
Denver and San Diego both made the list.
Okay.
You got Denver.
Okay. All right. I would have picked San Diego, but I just didn't want to because I didn't want to draft off Beth.
So you both could have gotten drafted.
Fine ass.
So you got that. They also put... Now, this one... this was their number one, and I don't know that I'd call it number one, but it's definitely a beer destination that we've been to. Grand Rapids, Michigan. We all liked Grand Rapids quite a lot there.
Yeah, but...
And the beer scene I thought was pretty good.
Okay. Hey, I mean, it's been a while.
Denver was number two.
Okay.
I should note that in Travel and Leisure magazine article, they also included like, oh, and then you could see some like museums and shit. Mm. Or other stuff. Charleston, South Carolina.
Wow.
Which I've now put on my 2020 travel list. Not because of them, but I was already going to go to South Carolina anyway.
Yeah.
And they mentioned like five or six different breweries. So that sounded cool.
You have to do the dance if you want to get a beer.
Flagstaff, Arizona.
Stop it. I don't believe this. This is not a correct list.
Nobody wants to go to Arizona.
Flagstaff? I want to go. I'm ready to go back to Arizona because I've been there a lot as a, you know, I grew up there some. I'm ready to go back. Let's see. You want me to name some of the breweries?
Sure. I'm just looking it up right now. Flagstaff.
If you're a Flagstaff, Arizona brewery and I don't name you, I'm reading off of Travel and Leisure, okay? It's not me. Mother Road, Dark Sky Breweries, Historic Barrel and Bottle House, Lumberyard Tap Room and Grill.
That just sounds like a late night where, like, if you go to the Lumberyard, you're lumbering. You're
Verde Brewing Company, that Brewing Company, like that. It's called That Brewing Company.
Oh, I get it.
They got a couple beers, beer festivals, and they have Arizona Beer Week there in Flagstaff. All right. Okay, that was number four. Number five, you were getting close with Vermont.
Okay.
But you missed it by a state. Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine.
Allagash Brewing Company.
Okay.
What's his name? Our friend that we don't know. I can't remember his name because it's late in the show. He moved from Society up to there.
Mike.
Mike moved to like a brewery up in, I thought that was Maine.
Yeah. It was
five people or seven sons or
12 daughters.
I'm totally off.
Seven daughters or seven sisters.
That's not
or something.
How come nobody ever names their place after daughters? Right? So five sons.
It doesn't look like there's that many breweries in Portland, Maine.
But are there other things? Anyway, okay. And then I told you this wasn't like a very like
well,
thought
I don't think
out.
He's in Portland. I think he's just in Maine.
In Maine, okay. They do have, you know, because they have like a bunch of islands. One's called Bustin's Island, which I really want to go to.
Yeah.
We can
go there in the RV, man.
To Bustin's Island.
Bustin's Island.
In Justin's bus.
That's right.
Bustin.
two friends on a weekend retreat to Bustin's Island.
Bustin's Island. That's like the new Girls Gone
what
Wild.
What if you were coming back as a woman?
And then number six was San Diego.
So, how is Portland, Oregon, you know, not on? I mean,
I know.
That's I guess it's sort of like Portland, Oregon is like the amber ale of beer cities, where it's just so old that people overlook it and they want to go somewhere new.
It's
that's a
weird
good analogy.
No.
That's a good analogy.
They're so old, they want to go somewhere new.
They're like the amber ale of beer cities.
I have a story about that, too, but I have to stop telling. I read too much news right now. All I do is read the news, apparently.
Oh, man.
Story for everything.
You should do like me and just read the headlines.
Yeah. Like reading everything. I'm like, oh, I need to know about that.
No.
I need to know about how the baby boomers are like the new millennials. It's like a whole fucking, I don't know.
It's okay, boomer.
What am I reading?
All right, boomer.
Okay, well, that's our beer news for today. I hope it was at least somewhat thought-provoking.
Well, I mean, you need a look. You've provoked a thought.
Fine.
And that's good.
Fine.
All right.
Have you shaved your balls recently since we've been talking about this whole thing, JP?
No, because I don't want to cut the hell out of my scrotum.
That's why you got to go to Manscaped and get the thing.
I really got to.
It's time to get up, gear up, and get yourself shaving this holiday season.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't get laid over the holidays? You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you who, married people.
Oh, but I mean, I'm like raising my hand.
And I said Sam.
Really? Yeah. Nobody has like a little like, hey, it's the holidays. I'm good. All right, forget it.
I will dick down Sam. I'll pipe Sam for you.
God bless.
I will lay
so
him out.
So once you start, hey, like, he's never going to leave you alone.
Hey, that, I don't, well, okay, hey, fuck it.
When are we going to JP's house again?
Well, if you're going to get ready for all this nonsense, you need the new Lawnmower 2.0. It's got their advanced skin-safe technology, which I can vouch for when I had to go. It shaves so close and nice and cut-free.
Yeah.
That I haven't had to shave since the ER incident. I mean, I'm due now-ish,
sure.
But I haven't, like, it's a nice.
You're
close,
not like full canopy.
No.
Canopy growth.
No.
You're still.
And
undercut,
everybody's
right,
different. I mean, I'm sure. Is there anybody who has like a 5 o'clock shadow on their on their balls? Like, it literally has to be done every. Can you imagine? You're like, I always got
there
that De Niro.
Go again.
The De Niro look again.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock. Anyway, the Lawnmower 2.0. It's safe. It's close. It's watertight. You can use it in the shower.
Hell yeah.
That's where I use it because the mess is a mess. You know, when
you put it down the drain. Well, I guess if you're doing it that tight, if you're keeping it that tight, then a little bit of hairs down the drain is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because like you shave your face.
Yeah. I do it like in a hotel, so it's not my drain anyway. Like whenever I'm on the road, I'm like,
boy.
Time to shave. Not my fucking drain.
Fuck it.
It's like when you Airbnb and you throw all the bacon grease down the sink. You don't care. It's not your not your sink.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, when I save up all my baby wipes for when I go out, I spend an hour flushing them down the toilet because it's
somebody else's toilet.
It's not my sewer system. What do I care?
The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside the new Perfect Package 2.0. Which makes the perfect gift this holiday season. That's got everything you need to keep trimmed, cut, free, and smelling nice. Because remember, that's the one that has the crop preserver that you can
that's
put
right
on there. It's also got the wipes that you can use. It's got everything.
It's got it all, baby.
I've used the wipes since.
Have you?
Yeah, since we last talked.
How do you feel?
I like them. Okay. I was like out of my house for a couple days over the holidays, so I brought the wipes.
Yeah.
Not that I can't shower, but I'm lazy. And I just,
hey man,
they did the trick.
Nice.
And then you put a little of the crop preserver on there, that anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer.
Yep.
Does the trick.
Hell yeah.
Go to manscaped.com and use coupon code BREWING, and you're going to get 20% off plus free shipping.
I love it.
That's a lot. So
that's
also
a lot.
As we're talking about gifts, I think we've mentioned a couple great holiday gifts for the men in your life today.
Absolutely.
So everything smells good. It's you don't hurt things.
Well, you know what? Women can use the Lawnmower 2.0 also.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go to manscaped.com.
Do it.
You know what to do. Okay. I think we're done. Oh, Twitter game.
Twitter game, baby.
All right. What's our Twitter game today? What was the new...
Our turning was, today was every generation hose? Of adults thinks today's kids are soft. Our parents are the we drank from the hose and we're fine generation. What's your generation's hose equivalent?
Yeah. And? What and we got some, how do we do?
We got some pretty good ones. I'm not going to lie. I think we got about seven to just sort of do a brief cursory run through.
Okay.
You mind.
All right.
Brian says, we drank bitter IPAs. You kids and your soft, cloudy IPAs are weak.
Ah, okay.
Not too bad. Chad says, my generation is the we smoked marijuana from a black market vape pen generation. It's pretty funny.
But we didn't survive.
Yeah, well, that's true. Six people died from that shit.
Six? You're,
yeah,
what are you
so.
Talking about? No, it's in the 30s now.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
All
when's right, the last well, then, time you read that headline? Like a month ago?
Yeah. I mean, it's all just in
people. My number might be off now.
Oh, maybe.
So that one, I'm going to... No.
All right. No, Chad.
Yeah,
no, Chad.
Yeah,
we're not doing it.
Yeah.
The Rev says, Gen X, we never wore helmets or any safety gear, rode a huge tricycle with gigantic wheels, knew the sound of mom's whistle for dinner time, and also knew when the streetlights came on, it's time to come home and crack. We started crack.
And look how we turned out.
Yeah, right. Well, and I was almost going to reply to him. I was like, well, I mean, the CIA started crack, but let's not go there.
And, it
like,
has reek, and
account.
Nobody's okay from crack.
Yeah. So.
Whitney.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of Whitney Houston, it's Whitney Shegon.
Oh, history. Whitney history.
Whitney history.
Damn.
Okay, so here's one. Brian King says, we didn't have beer influencers because we knew if a beer was good. We drank it rather than posting about it on Instagram.
All right, I like that one, too.
It's not too bad. TN Brewing says, we had to use dial-up internet. 30-minute download time just for side boob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two more. Our good personal friend, Gordon Strong, says dangerous yard games like jarts. I think he means lawn darts, but I don't know, jarts. I don't know, whatever the fuck jarts are. We didn't have phones to stare at, so we watched to make sure we weren't impaled by flying death spears.
Wait, say that one again?
We didn't have phones to stare at, so we watched to make sure we weren't impaled by flying death spears, you know, the lawn dart kind of thing.
Oh, that's all one thing.
That's all one thing from Gordon, yeah.
I still don't know why they're called jarts, why he's calling it jarts.
I don't know why either. I mean...
I told you the story of when I did a jart once, didn't I?
That's a shart, is what you're thinking of.
Well, kind of, except that it fell on a couple's blanket like a dart, but it was... It was duty. You remember that story?
No.
I was like a kid.
I totally remember that.
And so when, as soon as he said jarts, I was like, oh, he's talking about like, so I, you know, when you're a kid, you like, you play at the playground for too long and you got to go to the bathroom, but you're like having so much fun and you're worried that like little Jimmy's going to leave. So you're like hanging out.
Oh yeah. You extend that playtime.
And I'm in like little swim trunks or whatever, because we'd go into the pool at the same park, but now we're at the playground.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's like, I gotta go. Like, I can't.
Right.
So I'm like running through this crowded park. Like, it's a super crowded park. And
I feel for you.
And I'm almost to the bathroom. And, you know, and I'm playing. It's like there's blankets of people and couples and stuff everywhere. It's like a busy Saturday at a, like a busy L.A. park.
Yeah.
And like on my last leap over a blanket, because, you know, I couldn't weave.
No.
The duty came out.
Yeah.
And it like, and it falls. It's like a whole solid, like,
no!
Lawn dart, like a jar.
Were you actively, was it just in there cradled and you were like, oh, I just shit myself? Or as you leapt, the tension opened your little toddler butthole. Okay,
the
wow.
ladder. It was. Think of a B-52.
How do you jump?
Think of a B-52 bomber. Like you're flying. Like the target is right. Yeah, like I waited and I'm running and I do the you're jumping a hurdle
or whatever.
Like a hurdle, like when you're doing the 500 meter hurdles.
Yeah,
you know, I do this because like there's all these blankets in the last stretch and I have to jump over.
Sure. Well, it'd be rude to walk through them.
And as I do. All I can feel, I just can feel it.
Yeah.
But I can hear the aftermath, and it's like this young couple like hanging out on their blanket, and I'm just still dashing, and all I hear is the girl like, oh my god, like jumping and screaming, and I would have too.
Yep.
Like some 8-year-old just ran over. Was I 8? I don't even know. Anyway. As soon as he said jarts, that's what I was thinking. It was like a...
Apparently, jarts is short for javelin darts.
Okay. So it doesn't have anything to do with duty.
No.
Oh, that's a good story.
Only in your world.
Yeah. And then finally, No Beer Left Behind says, what about my generation online dated through MySpace?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And made it out okay.
And we survived. I mean, I guess, if you call that survival. Anyway, that's it. That's what we got.
Okay. I don't know. I can narrow it down to two favorites. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, same.
I like the bitter IPAs versus, like, we made it through those.
Yeah.
And I like the dial-up side boob.
I like that, too. I do like the beer influencers thing, just because...
Me that one again.
We didn't have beer influencers because we knew if a beer was good, we drank it, okay, rather than posting about it on Instagram, because I think beer influencers are inherently stupid, and it's a dumb concept.
To us, too. But we are stupid.
Yeah, definitely we're dumb, but... I mean, all right, personally, I'm just ready to vote for Brian if we drink bitter IPAs.
Now you're swaying me toward the beer influencers. We just knew what beer we liked. I'm paraphrasing him now.
You are doing that.
Because if he had written it that way, it would have been a slam dunk. But
because, I mean, this wasn't supposed to be we walked uphill both ways kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the snow. So.
Oh, I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Since most of the show has not been about beer, can we just give it to him because it has the word beer in it?
I'm all right with it.
All right, beer influencers.
Oh, beer influencers. Brian King. There we go.
We didn't need them.
The whole word influencer is stupid.
Mm. I just think of influenza because I'm sick of it.
Have you shaved your... Oh, wait, I already did it. Never mind.
Since you've asked, yes, and I won't tell you how.
Yeah.
Actually, I have tweezers and I just...
Yeah. All right, I got to contact Manscaped and... How are you right now? Like, what's your situation right now?
Oh, I'm full. I'm like, so I'm like the Amazon jungle right now.
Yeah, have you been that way since you've had a child?
I need to slash it.
Basically.
Burn.
So we need to call in Cal Fire.
Yeah, basically, yes.
To make like a what's it called? Like a fire line around.
That's right.
A safe burn.
What I do at night is I just lay near the electrical outlet in case PG&E causes another fire. Then I can get it taken care of.
Wow. Okay. You want to use mine? Do you want me to?
No, I don't. I can't. I would not be. I feel like there's a severe man code there.
I think on the RV trip, I have to have like a stockpile of lawnmower 2.0s and big ass bricks of soap. So like everybody who comes in, just like it's like a free gift.
Oh my God!
Like you just grab your, you know. Shave outside, please.
Shave.
But you get...
Well, what do they care? It's not your drain. It's not their drain.
It's fine.
All right. Next week on the program, Block 3 Brewing will be with us. And the week after that, we've got the triumphant return of Dr. Charlie Bamforth.
Hell yeah.
That'll be exciting. And those are the things that we're doing here on the Brewing Network. I feel like Perv Happily right now.
Who? You got half of that right, I'll tell you that.
Halfly? Purred. Purred yeah. Happily.
I don't know, I was just calling you a pervert.
You don't know, never mind. Parks and Rec?
No.
And now is the time that I hand it to JP, where he will take it over as JP.
All right, I can do that.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Mike Marr from Buffalo Creek Brewing from Long Grove, Illinois, hung out and talked about lagers, ales, and what it's like to do battle with the city government. Check him out over at buffalocreekbrewing.com. Do you have extra money? If so, head over to patreon.com/earsup and support JP in his quest to become supported monetarily by you. Yes, you. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at TC McD, and you can unfollow Warren at Another Beardy. Keep track of JP over on Instagram at Major Jip, and you can find Bevo there as well at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning the race. JP does great as his charity.